figure out how to shoot.
Huh. All right. We're live, I guess, right?
It's a Molly. Whole different look, right?
It's weird because we're all on the same camera this time. Hey, hello. Yo.
What up, diggity dogs?
Well, welcome. This is unfamiliar territory. We're all in the same room.
Yay!
I think the last time we did this was in like June or July.
Yeah, we had one.
Right? There was one. It is the Shining Wizard Wrestling Podcast Christmas Extravaganza. We have our friend from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Phil Reyes, in studio with us.
Yay!
Hey, Phil up!
And of course, Kevin and Tony and myself, the Shining Wizards. We got, yeah, look at that. Ryan Sullivan, what in the holy hell? We figured it out. Tony figured out technology. Figured it out.
Who do I have to fight for that championship belt outside, though?
It's a farce.
Oh, okay.
I forgot to bring my championship belt. We got a ton of wrestling to talk about tonight. We got a throwback. It's a Christmas extravaganza. We're going to have a good time. The libations are flowing.
Oh, yes.
Libations. Is that a thing?
Libations.
Well, that's all the same. Government of the law.
Yes, of course.
Hey, yo.
Hey, yo, what?
Did you the law.
What are you doing? Fucking with my volume?
No, fucking talking. Jack
off. This is
you said talk.
Jesus. I you can't do anything without somebody going, hey, what are you doing?
What are you fucking doing, guy? You
I like your little setup there. Your little
his wood shop setup?
Yeah, I like that.
Well, if I didn't I usually have to have this because the camera's gotta be up higher to get me on. Otherwise you'd be looking at my tits and my fucking belly.
Hey, yo.
I don't think you want to do that.
Why?
I don't know. Unless you want to. Do you want to?
Yeah. So there's a small part of the audience that wants to, Tony.
Yeah. Merry Titsmas.
Oh, look. Ryan Sullivan. Very excited. I'm not blocked.
Thank you for doing
that. You should be. And then look at this. Manny Crazzo. The comeback of Sour Milk Phil.
Sour Milk Phil?
It's from the Bamboozled game, I'm thinking.
Oh, that's right. With the jelly beans. Yeah. That's right. Good
fucking
call.
Miko hand job.
Or the Bean Boozled game, not Bamboozled.
Yeah, I know what you meant. Yeah, those things are fucking gross. Tony kept that tradition for a couple of years, actually.
Why would you say Miko Handjob? He's your guy.
Yeah, I thought he didn't like me anymore. He wanted to team up with you against Tombstone Jesus and me, didn't he?
Oh, you're like 8 months late on that.
Well, I'm just keeping it real, bro. It's 2022. At the end of 2022, actually, it's our last show of the year.
Yeah, we're going out with a bang with Shining Wizards Christmas extravaganza. We're getting in the rewind machine, going back to December 22nd, 1997, Ooh. Monday Night Raw. And I think we're just going to have a good time tonight and talk a lot of wrestling and do a lot of wrestling talk. And it's all here next. The Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
Is it?
Yes.
Wait, where the hell
I'd like to think so.
Dude, where is my intro? My intro is not on here. Where the fuck did it go? Oh, here we go. All this and next and something else on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Blah, blah, blah.
What a dude.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on rantiumradio.com and available on all podcast platforms and at shiningwizards.com. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Check out our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Do your Amazon shopping at amazon.shiningwizards.com and become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. As always, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy the show.
This is Kenny Omega, and you are cleaning up the competition with Shining Wizards Podcast.
What's up, fuckers?
Where did cheese go?
It's a stupid fucking question, Kevin.
Whoa!
Hey, this is Moose.
God, that was disgusting.
Shining Wizards rule the world.
You are tuned in live to episode 617 of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, coming to you live in Studio A on the Rant for one more time, rantiumradio.com, coming to you live on the social medias in living color, the Facebooks, the Twitches, the Twitters, and the YouTubes, and going with you wherever you go, as always, because we're available on each and every streaming and podcast platform. And as the music dies down, we bring an end to 2022 with some wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
Tony.
Matt.
KJG.
PGR.
Oh, fuck yes.
Stupid son of
What's the G stand for?
Gorgeous, motherfucker.
Oh.
No, it doesn't.
It actually, Gregory is the middle name.
Yeah, fucking dork.
Yeah, Greg.
Howdy.
Yeah. Uncle Howdy.
Hey, yo.
Well, this is it. The swan song of 2022. The swan song of our live stream on the rant. I know Matt loves it so much.
That's why you brought Phil in, so you two can fucking reminisce about the rant.
If you guys are just going to kiss, just get it over with now.
I promised Matt I wouldn't schmooze with Tony on the kissing tonight.
Yeah, that ain't right, dude. You guys went fucking gallivanting all around this great state, going up to visit Tommy Fierro, buying some wrestling magazines.
No magazines, VHS tapes.
VHS tapes. Yeah. Well, tell us about your experiences. What'd you think of the wrestling collector site thing, whatever?
The store is fantastic. You could definitely lose your shirt in there.
Yeah.
I bet.
I know Phil inquired about the wrestling album cassette still in package, and he wanted like $150 for it.
That's not right. I don't think. I mean, he knows better than me, but that's definitely not right.
Yeah,
that's like a $50 tape, if that.
I was hoping for like $35.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. So we put the VHS tapes back and bought that instead.
Yeah, but brand new, still sealed. I mean,
it's basically an empty album cover, empty album sleeve with the cassette stuck on the top of it, which I got in 1985.
Yeah, you know, had the same Christmas. Thing.
Yeah.
Fucking ripped the shit out of the box, threw it out, and kept the tape.
Yeah.
I could never open open tape cassettes.
The long, tall boxes?
No, the VHSs were okay. Because you'd be able to like bite them open, but tape cassettes with the packages?
Oh, yeah.
They were terrible to open.
Shrink wrap gimmicks,
exactly.
And the cassette didn't even have like the plastic sleeve,
it
right?
Did not.
It was just the tape.
No,
like Piledriver did though. If you bought Piledriver,
Piledriver did, yeah.
Yeah.
Tape cassette singles,
which Matt got on VHS
plastic,
today, by the way.
Had the plastic sleeve.
Yeah.
Tape cassette singles, but actual tape cassettes were the hardest things to open. Like,
shout out to Columbia House.
Columbia House and Sam Goody.
Eight for a penny.
All right. Yeah. Do you guys remember the machines they used to have at Sam Goody where you could make your own singles? Like, you buy the songs individually and they put them all on the tape for you?
I do.
We
do because we're old.
It was a gimmick for a while. Instead of selling cassette singles like they started doing like in the later 90s, they had a machine where like it would give you like a list of songs and you just put in the numbers of the songs that you wanted and it would make a cassette with all the songs on them and spit it out for you.
Today, years old.
Yeah. It's quite the gimmick.
It's news to me.
Yeah. I don't think
the original mixtape.
Yeah. They didn't last too long because then one single started coming out. Everybody just paid.
Yeah. I don't think you're making that up, actually.
No, it's legit.
Yep.
Tape. So you could pick whatever songs you want from any artist.
It had to be available there. You couldn't say, hey, you have Blue Oyster Cult from 1973. If they didn't have it, you didn't get it.
Or the Cure.
Yeah.
Or
Show me.
Or Culture Club.
Come.
That would be our mixtape today.
Yes.
That
though.
And you throw some Pantera on there because we talked. Me and Phil had a day. Look, Tony said Phil was going to join us, and he said it was going to be over the StreamYard, and I said, no, this is ridiculous. This is a Christmas extravaganza. So I reached out to Phil. I said, hey, do you want me to come pick you up and bring you to Tony's? And Phil declined. He didn't want to put me out.
But
I said, I'm offering. I got nothing to do. And I said, we'll make a day out of it. So we were going to go get lunch and hang out. And then I picked up Phil and we were talking in the car and we were talking about.
About doing the show in May at Tommy's next show. Think about doing the table.
I didn't get that.
Could you try
again?
Shut up, Siri.
Oh, boy.
We were talking about, the 80s WrestleFest that's coming to Morristown again in May.
Yeah. Men in Arena.
Yeah. And then I told Phil, I pulled a picture off of his Facebook for the ad tonight, and it was a picture of him from that event. I said, oh, it's right around the corner from my house. And he said, oh, yeah, I've been talking to Tommy. Would love to get up there. I said, fuck it, let's go.
How far is it from Staten Island to Sussex County?
Yeah, where he is, about an hour? Yeah.
Yeah, we made good time.
All right.
There wasn't bad. And then what? We weren't going to sit around a fucking Chili's or an Applebee's for fucking three hours.
The place is basically the size of Tony's basement. It's not really that big.
What, Tommy's place?
Tommy's place, yeah. So
I thought he does a great job.
That's what I told him. It looks bigger.
Yeah, it looks bigger. Yeah,
on TV, that's the first thing I told him because he took us in the back where they have like the autograph wall.
Yeah,
he has all the old banners from the WWF. So It was pretty dope.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a good, it was fun. Then we came back down and we went to Chevy's over here and we had some snacks, drinks, and then we ended up here.
A couple of Modelo's and some margaritas.
Snacks.
You had Modelo, Matt.
I did not. I had a margarita.
I had some Modelo, yeah.
You had Modelo's.
I discovered it 2 years ago for the first time.
Modelo's?
Yeah.
Modelo's are fantastic.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah.
You're smart. You're a smart guy.
I'm not that smart. I pretend to be on podcasts, though.
But we're very, very happy to have you here.
Thank you very much.
How was everyone's Christmas?
Good. Long. Had the girls, my nieces over in the morning at me and my dad's house. Then took a little napsky McGapsky. And then we went to my brother's house and saw them again. And they were just out of control nuts. And their family was good. It was a lot of fun. So Christmas is always good. It's chaotic, but it's worth it at the end of the day.
Now, before anyone answers, Kevin, did you get any wrestling-related Christmas gifts?
Not one.
Nothing?
Nope.
That's a bummer.
So the only thing I asked for were AEW figures of past guests. So I asked for Evil Uno, Thunder Rosa, and...
Austin Theory.
Austin Theory.
Kenny Omega.
No, I have a Kenny Omega and maybe a Jericho because I don't think I have an AEW Jericho. So I asked for those, but and I even included the link to Ringside Collectibles because they were all like $6.
Nice.
But nothing, no dice. So I'll go to the Livingston Mall next week and I'll pick up a Thunder Rosa.
All right. Myself. I dig.
Yeah, because she's a very good friend of the show.
What about you, T-Donk? How was your Christmas?
Long. I mean, we went up Christmas Eve. We went up to my sister-in-law's house.
Word of the day.
You said up. So where's up?
Fairfield.
Okay.
We saw my niece and nephew who are like 3 and 4 years old. So they were going nuts, which was great. It's always great to see the little kids like that.
Christmas time.
Christmas Day, we went out with my dad and his girl and my brother and his girlfriend brought all the kids. So it was like a Brady Bunch reunion. We went out to dinner, had a nice dinner up in Little Falls.
That many kids, huh?
Well, she's got 4 and he's got 2. So yeah, it was...
It's a lot of fucking.
Well,
hey, yo,
it's 2022, man. That's what the kids do.
It's
these
a lot
days.
Of mouths to feed.
And then after that, he's like, why don't you come over for a while? So we went over to his place and
for
her
fucking?
Parents. Yes. That's what we welcomed Jesus into the world the way he wasn't welcomed into the world with a lot of fucking.
Wow. Your family's weird.
So we went over to his place and her parents lived downstairs. So they had her whole family over, which we were all friendly with. Great people. And so we had like another fucking complete meal of just desserts. It was insane. We ate like fucking animals yesterday.
And he's over here screaming at us to eat fucking pizza.
I bought a pizza. Nobody's taking part of the pizza. It's
I'm gonna have.
Delicious.
I'm allergic to mushrooms.
Where's the pizza going? And Phil's allergic to mushrooms. Trying to fucking kill him.
Are you really allergic to mushrooms?
Yeah. I'll scrape them off.
No.
Yeah, I'll scrape them off. Then he goes in the fucking anaphylactic shock of my car and just dump him on the fucking West Side Highway.
Can I tell you how
it's too far?
How impressed I am that he actually got anaphylactic right.
It's early. Don't worry.
like the guy can't say like 2 words together, and he said anaphylactic.
You know I fucked up the guest's name this morning when I recorded the podcast at 8 a.m.
I'm like, you fucked his name up, right?
Oh, we had a whole conversation about it before we even hit the record button. And then I did the intro, and it was instantly fucked it up. Instantly.
Phil, how was your Christmas?
I spent Christmas Eve with the parents. We had early lunch / dinner. My parents are into like going out to eat now. They don't cook anymore.
Back in Queens?
Yeah.
Nice.
Long Island, Queens area. And then I spent Christmas Day with the girlfriend.
Nice.
Breaking news. Dun, dun, dun,
she got like a... She must have shopped on Fanatics because she got me like a bunch of Mets and Viking shit. And then she bought me like a Roman Reigns Fanatic shirt.
Yo,
that's pretty awesome.
How about your Vikings?
How about them Vikings?
How about that?
We'll see what happens in the playoffs. I'm not getting too excited yet. But yeah, I had a great guy. She got me a bunch of sneakers and like really cool shit, man. Just, you know, really had a nice, quiet Christmas. And then I watched basketball all day after that.
Oh, my wife got me the MetaQuest. The fucking 3D fucking
the AR
headset.
Thing.
Yeah, dude.
My nephew, my godson's got that, man.
It's fucking, we were playing it a little bit yesterday when we got home. And
did you punch anybody out yet?
No, you know what? I got Beat Saber for free. The fucking thing with the swords where you fucking hit the notes and shit. Oh, it was amazing.
My godson loves that shit.
It's fucking great. My son
Beat
was playing.
Saber.
Yeah, what is that?
Name's this shit.
It's not Meat Saber. It's Beat Saber.
I said Beat Saber. You
that's
dip it,
that's
shit.
How we got the kid. He gave her a Meat Saber.
Zach Saber.
Oh, there you go. My son was playing something called Gorilla Tag, and he was like trying to run around like a gorilla.
Played that in high school. Ring the bell. Ring the bell.
What kind of crazy game? Gorilla tag? Yeah. Why don't you just call it fucking tag?
Yeah, what the hell's gorilla
my godson
tag?
Plays it all the time, and this is the first time I've seen it. I didn't get to play it because my son figured it out. And he went on there, and he's actually on all fours, like running on his
we
hands.
We played
and
gorilla
his feet.
Ball in high school. It's basketball. It's like half-court basketball, and everything's under the paint.
It was fucking.
So you're blocking, you're elbowing, you're punching.
Really I don't bad. Know, man. I was playing Beat Saber. I was having a blast playing it. My wife was watching some Billie Eilish concert in 3D. It's fucking wild.
That VR stuff is insane, dude.
It's crazy. And this shit, it's all the unit by itself. Like, I had one for PlayStation. You don't have to plug it into shit. You just put it on your head. You turn it on. You go. That's it. It's really cool.
All right.
Well, stupid.
I'm sorry, Matt.
What? It'll only be a matter of time before Tony's impaled on this fucking thing over here.
Yeah.
Well, in fairness, I took the monitor down so this way the camera could get a view of everything.
Tony, did you have a Virtual Boy when you were younger?
Yes, I did. And I had all of the games that were released in North America for it. And I sold it for a pretty penny. And some days I wish I didn't. And then other days I'm glad I did.
What's a pretty penny?
Yeah, 400.
That's
how many games?
The system penny. With all 14 games plus virtual Tetris from Japan.
In slang, a pretty penny is anything over a bean, anything over $100.
Yeah, especially when the market right. wasn't well, here, what it is now.
But here's the thing. Like, I picked up, let's see if you remember this. I picked up the Virtual Boy at the Wiz with the power supply for $20
no
brand
one
new.
Beats the Wiz.
Because they were just trying to unload them. And all of the games, I literally went around to Blockbusters when they used to rent the fucking games. They were selling them because nobody had them anymore. So I was getting games for like $2 a piece.
And that Virtual Boy didn't F you up? Like,
no, you know what? Like, it was a pain in the ass to play it because you had to stand and you had to like look into it. And then like I'd get tired of having my head cranked up, so I'd lay in bed and just put it like down like across my face and just play it like with my head.
You're
like,
still talking
up.
About a Virtual Boy night, right? Not like an actual boy.
Oh boy.
Wow, that's fucking creepy, dude.
Yeah, Virtual Boy, Virtua.
Can't help what you do in your own.
Why we can't have nice things?
I don't know, man. Kevin and I are having an interesting conversation. He's got to turn it to fucking pedophilia.
I don't have to. I was just asking a real question.
Well, the real answer is no, you twat. You're fucking wrong.
Allegedly.
No, but I wound up with the whole collection, and I'd never use it anymore.
Now they're worth a real pretty penny.
Yeah. That's always the thing. Like, you sell it, and you made a lot of money, and then you look at it a couple years later, and you're like, I could have made more, but then it's like,
but
well,
you needed the money. You might have needed
it. It's not even I needed it.
No,
I
understand that.
I had no use for it, you know?
Yeah. You just want to get rid of stuff.
I do regret getting rid of my Dreamcast, though, because there's fucking days where I'm like, fuck, I wish I had the Dreamcast.
Yeah, me too.
Donk, I have two.
Oh.
Dreamcasts?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Oh, Kevin, my buddy.
We'll figure it out.
I want to get one in mod one because the Japanese wrestling games are awesome on that.
Did you get any wrestling gifts?
I did not. I got zero wrestling gifts.
What about you?
It was a very exciting Christmas.
Oh, I heard about Matt's exciting Christmas.
Uh-oh.
So I went to my father and brother's house in the morning. And my uncle had passed a couple years ago. So his house is directly behind my parents' house. And my cousins, who are supposed to be taking care of the house, live on the West Coast. So when the big freeze came, they had realized nobody had gone over there and turned the heat on.
Oh, no.
So my brother went over there Christmas Eve, I guess, and he couldn't get the heat to go on.
Oh, no.
So after we did breakfast and presents, we went over to look at the furnace. And my wonderful wife is trained in HVAC, so she managed to get the furnace up and running, and we had heat. All over the house, there were like little post-it notes like water off, water off, water right. off. So we thought the water was off. I was laying on the couch at about 6:30 last night, and my brother called me in a complete panic. The pipes had exploded.
Exploded. Oh, mamma mia.
So we had to drive all the way back to Verona and spent about 3 hours mopping and cleaning up water.
Dude, that's the worst. And no one lives there, though, right?
Correct. So, and my niece and nephew both have the flu, so that got scrapped, so we couldn't go to see them, which I guess is a blessing, because then we wouldn't have been so close to go back and help with the cleanup.
It's been crazy.
But it was okay. I wouldn't have it any other way.
Well, I'm pretty sure you might.
I was very comfy on the couch.
Nice.
Getting ready to put a fire on.
Yeah, there's a lot more. Supposed to tell Matt today on the way in. There's a lot more sports on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day now.
Like
A lot more football, a lot more.
Well, because the Christmas Day used to just be solely the NBA's day.
Yeah, and now they do like 2-3 games. Now they do like 5 games.
Now you have 5 games, and now you also have football now on Christmas Day too. But I'll tell you something crazy. We lost hot water the day before Christmas Eve on the 23rd.
Oof.
And thank God that we lost water and heat.
Oh.
And this was like literally the coldest weekend of the year. But we called the plumber on like a Hail Mary. And they came and literally took care of it like the next day. And so it's not a very good story, but
it's been going around, man.
No, but the 23rd sucked. That was the day it went from like 60 to like 10 or 10, 0.
54 degrees when I left my apartment. I came back. It was 12 degrees.
Yeah.
My son was like, I'm not walking. My son was like in walking distance of my apartment. He's like, no, I'm going to have my dad drive me over.
So they came on Christmas Eve. I want to say.
Yeah.
And then, so yeah, it was the Wednesday, then they came, and literally we just decided to replace our entire boiler water heater just because it's been like 12 years, so that's how long they last.
Yeah, those things normally last about 10 years.
Yeah, so we're like, we'll just get rid of it. And I couldn't believe how quick they were and how awesome they were doing that. So we were able to have a hot shower on Christmas. So first world problems, but still problems.
It's a Christmas miracle.
That's right.
I got all sorts. I got my Hitman shirt.
You do? That's a great shirt. Was that Fight Club? Not Fight Club. Roots of Fight. I think it's called Roots of Fight.
Yeah, somewhere over here. Yeah. Got a nice book about all Japan.
Oh, so you did get Christmas wrestling gifts.
Oh, I did, yes.
Oh, yeah.
What else?
I got a Ricky the Dragon Steamboat Elite figure.
Ooh. That's the one with the white gi on?
Yeah,
or an actual dragon.
No, it's got the long white tights and the IC belt.
That's the one I got for my mom. She likes that one. Yeah.
Did you get the Bonnie Steamboat shirt where you press a button and it just nags you for 30 years?
Yeah. And it causes you to lose every promotion that you.
No,
that
but you ironically for. Enough, my brother got me alligator socks that if I put my foot in, I bet you it looks like little Steamboat at WrestleMania 4.
God.
It was good, though. I got a bunch of shit for my cruise, so. It's a very nice Christmas.
You going on Jericho cruise?
No, I'm going on just a regular cruise. Going on a regular cruise.
I couldn't
handle
wrestling fans in the middle of the ocean. I'd probably get arrested for stabbing somebody.
In like 2 weeks. 2 weeks time.
I got to ask you a question. Is there a letter under your left foot?
No.
There's not?
Oh.
Okay. Matt's got the letter L.
They're
under
both
one of
L's, Tony, for large. For large.
I thought you had fucking left and right socks to help you put them on.
God, what kind of fucking retard do you think I am?
I don't know, bro.
I know how to put my fucking socks on.
Yeah, but on which feet? That was the question. I mean, everybody knows how to put them on, right?
Put my socks on just like you, buddy.
3 feet at a time.
It really made me fucking laugh, though. Fucking L.
Shout out to everyone in the chat who's hanging out with us. Hummer, Jamie Wallace. Matzo Kratzo, Ronnie Kumpf is here.
Oh, fucking Ronnie!
Ronnie,
fucking Axel Foley, he's in there.
Ronnie, he's here for you because he says, "What's up?" Oh no, wait, that's me. What's up, sausage fingers?
Yes. No fucking one forgets.
Fucking Ronnie. I haven't heard from Ronnie in a long time. I hope he's doing well.
Yeah, Ronnie's a good dude.
Do you know Jamie Wallace, by the way?
Axel Foley, by the way.
Axel Foley.
Yes.
Yep.
Is the most dedicated wrestling card collector I've ever known in my entire life.
He's been a fan since the jump of all of our stuff.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yep.
And he's also in the major pod community. So he collects cards and like has them. He'll get like a Macho Man like slab piece PSA 10 and he'll spend, but he'll also sell other stuff that he has in order to get that.
It's my dude right there. He's an upstate kid.
Yeah.
Good dude, man. Solid.
Always a good guy. So I appreciate that. Everyone that's hanging out with us on all of our social media platforms.
Yeah.
Tony, did you watch any AEW to aggravate your holiday spirits this week?
No. What do you think? I'm fucking crazy. I was in a good mood.
Oh, I don't know. You watched 2 weeks ago and then you're all fucking fired up last week about Andrade or whatever a fucking dickhead kid's name is.
Oh, Oli, 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 O.
Oli, 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 O. I just wanted to see, what are you aggravated about this week?
Nothing really. I heard Mandy Rose's clam got her a cool million for the end of the year, though.
Is it the clam or is it the balloon?
It doesn't
balloon
matter. Knot. Oh, well, the balloon knot probably fucking commands double the price now.
I thought it was the clam that got it a half a mil.
As soon as she left, she upped her
subscription
price
rates,
to from 20 to 30. God bless her. And she made a cool half a mil.
Right, because I looked at all the... I searched out.
Yeah, we're
Nick
we're
German
men.
Sent me the pics. They're pretty cool.
Right?
You're doing your research.
We're professional.
I wanted
wanted to know if it was fireable stuff. I don't think it was.
I think the whole action figure thing fucked it up for her because I know Barbie had a contract with Mattel. And like Mattel was like, we can't have chick showing that clam.
Oh,
you know, that was from what I heard.
Well, because Barbie doesn't have a clam.
They'll make plus size girls now, but they won't make clam chicks with clams. No one's anatomically correct anymore.
Well, you can't do that.
No, you can't do that.
You can do that. They just refuse to.
Yeah. No, you can't
you do anything
do
with
that.
3D printer. Trust me.
Yeah. Well, we got a 3D printer. My wife got a 3D printer.
Aline's got one. They're fucking mint, man. Those things are great.
Oh, Alan.
Yeah, Alan, yes.
My man, Alan.
What are you guys printing on your 3D printer?
I ain't printing shit.
I'm printing clams.
It's not mine. I'm not allowed to touch it. I don't know how it works.
That's probably a good thing.
Look, when this whole fiasco happened yesterday, my brother was like, oh, maybe you could take a look at it. And my wife just started laughing uncontrollably. And she was like, you know, he doesn't know shit. And she's not wrong.
No. Fair point.
I stay in my lane, so I don't fuck with the 3D printer.
You guys use it to make like marital aids or no?
No. What's wrong with you?
I can see. I can't. That's
no.
Your
go
line.
Ahead. You fucking
Benoit
open the door.
Balls.
You can see her what?
I can see Phil printing a big fucking dildo and going, "What are we gonna do about this?
What are we gonna do about this? All right." And I'll paint the multicolors and make it all like you know, make it proper for the culture, you know.
You can make it gender inclusive. Anybody could use it.
It's my gender neutral plastic dildo. You know?
With or without balls. You gotta have balls, Tony.
There will be none of that printed out.
It's gotta have a base.
I identify as gender neutral.
Fluid. You know what's wild is that I didn't realize, according to the notes from Brandon Haney, that Shawn Michaels made the call to take the belt off Randy Rose.
Yeah.
He's so
Shawn Michaels, the guy who wouldn't drop a fucking belt in a match.
The guy who's a playgirl.
Dude, that's so wild to me because I thought that Roxy Perez, right? She should have got the belt anyway. Like
She's
I said that last
too.
Week. She was gonna get it. But I can't believe that Shawn Michaels made the call.
That's the chick from Ring of Honor,
stuff.
Right?
Yes, yeah. That's Roxy.
Roxy.
Booker T's kid. Booker T's student. Yeah.
Well, I thought it was ironic that it was Prince Albert who went to Shawn Michaels about like the situation.
Why is that ironic?
Because his fucking gimmick name was Prince Albert.
Really? We're talking about gimmicks in the late 90s. As we will talk about later tonight when we cover for a Wizards Rewind, the December 23rd.
22nd.
22nd. All right, I was off by a day.
Thanks, Tony.
The Christmas episode of Monday Night Raw from 1997.
God.
Yeah.
What?
Look, good for her. Half
but he
milk.
Was also A-Train. He was what? A-Train? Yeah, he was A-Train as well.
And Tensai.
But for a long time, he went out there and was like, hey, I'm Prince Albert, which means he's a pierced dick.
Yes.
Yeah, but his partner fucking wound up paralyzed thanks to fucking, you're dealing with the real deal. So he had to become a Tensai.
Right, and his other one ended up dead.
Hey, yo.
Wait, what's his name? Vikram? What's his name?
Test.
Vic Grimes is dead?
No, Test.
I thought Test.
Oh, okay.
Vic Grimes.
Vic Grimes is not dead, I don't think. Vic Grimes was...
No, but fucking New Jack tried to kill him.
Legitimately.
Because they brought Vic Grimes in to be with Draws and Prince Albert. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Did they really?
Oh, yeah. He was called something. He wore like all white, and he had like white hair, but it was Vic Grimes that WWE actually hired to team with Draws and Prince Albert.
Let's see.
And it lasted maybe all of like 3 weeks, I'll say.
Stephen Debut.
Vic fucking Grimes.
He was a drug dealer.
Huh. They didn't Snowy? Was his name Snowy?
No, Snowy White.
No, it was something white, I think. It wasn't Vic Grimes. Maybe it was Vic Grimes.
It was fucking Snowy.
I'm telling you.
Radioactive metal.
He did a moonsault.
Let's see. His Wikipedia doesn't say what his name is, but let's see if his cage match does.
It was like Snow something. I want to say it was snow or it was white, or it could have just been Vic Grimes. It lasted maybe 2 weeks. I'm telling you right now.
All right, let's see. 1999.
He showed up.
With, Key. His name was Key. Key.
Yes.
There well, that makes sense. Yep.
Literally just K-E-K-E-Y, Key, yeah. And he just was there for maybe a half a month, if that. Maybe one night. It could have been one night.
So Kev, would you say Albert got half a key?
That's fine. What did you do to KP Sister, man?
Nah, he's fucking with me.
You sure about that?
Yeah, 100%.
KP
Sister's a lesbian.
All right. So yeah, I'll make a visit for you, you know?
No, KP.
I don't want nobody to mess with my dude.
So what KP's gimmick is that he just says stuff that's so unbelievably unrealistic.
Is that like comedian's code?
Yeah. Okay. So he's just messing with me. So,
all right, I'm gonna make no visits out here.
Yeah. Key only made one appearance, and it was on a Shotgun Saturday night, August 8th, 1999.
Yeah, and did like a moonsault on I forget who they were fighting, but he did.
It was the team of Adam Keene, Andrew McMurphy, and Tim Hawk.
Oh, any relation to Luke?
Hey yo.
I don't believe so.
I don't think so because that's an X and a K. X and a K.
Vic Grimes.
Yo, wow. New Jack wanted to kill him so bad, he forced promoters to put him into promotions he was at. Yeah, bring him to XPW. I'll stab him there, too.
Did you see that? Like, XPW was back? I guess someone...
Allegedly,
bought,
yeah.
Yeah, I guess somebody bought the rights to...
No, it's the original dude.
It's Rob Black?
It's Rob Black. It's Rob Black. He brought it back.
You know what? I'll go to that.
So, wait. I don't think... Is it?
Yeah, it is.
Because doesn't like because all I see is like the guy that promotes like standalone like Chad and
no
he promotes it all
he's got
and Danny DeMonte
the show is on is it on Fight TV I think it is on Fight TV
when's the show it's coming up right
dude they have fucking Drake Younger working they have like, I'm good
they have like
Schlock
like weekly shows Schlock's on there too yeah
that it, dude's insane
I'm telling you right now guy? That guy Chad Mintz has something to do with it.
Let's see. They're running a show.
Who well, I like. I like Chad.
They're running a show in Newark.
Fuck yeah, they are.
Yeah, fucking Ronnie says it is Rob Black, and Chad is just a bitch boy.
Oh.
That's a fucking Ronnie quote, by the way.
Masada's their world champion.
We Are Not Your Kind takes place January 21st. Tickets run from $50 to $80.
What?
That's...
We got the stars of XPW, Lou Dark, Shitan, Sage.
Leave me alone, I'm Shitan.
Sage, Sin Supreme, Schlack, Cat Martini, Necro Butcher, The Body, Soul Taker, Jasmine St. Clair, Misha Montana, The Bev. Many more will be announced soon.
Jasmine
All
St. Clair,
front row
huh?
fans get a free poster and a meet and greet, which starts at 6 p.m.
Little free promotion.
How finishes the Bukkake Blast?
Pleasures of the Flesh. That takes place February 18th.
Ronnie's got more info. Rob Black still owns it. Necro Butcher's doing a MAGA gimmick. Holy shit. Well, actually, it's Justin Anderson coming in with that. My bad. Justin from Inconclusive Breakdown, by the way.
Hey, yo.
Only on the Shining Wizards. What's up, well, Justin? They're everywhere else, but listen to it on the network.
Your TV champion is a woman.
I know. Unless she got a dick, dude. I don't know.
Oh, so Ronnie said Chad is just the bitch boy, meaning that he does all the work and Rob Black still owns it.
Is Chad the gay looking guy? He's got like frosted tips and stuff.
You have to be more. No, he's a bald guy with a beard.
Then, no, because he's got some guy that's around there who's like always hitting on the other dudes. I watched the show. I forget if it's on Fight TV. I forget where I saw it, but it's free. Like it's available every week. They've got weekly television.
XPW?
Yeah, it's mostly. Yeah, because I talked about it.
Are
fucking
sure?
Taya Valkyrie wrestled Camille for XPW, I'm pretty sure.
I don't think you're... I think you're confusing promotions.
Nope. It's definitely... XPW is definitely a thing. I watched
So, like, Drake Younger is working for XPW now.
She can get it, too, Taya Valkyrie.
All right.
XPW TV?
She's got a little thick for me, though.
No. Let's see.
It's on Fight. It's on Fight for free.
For free.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it's
how long have they been doing shows though?
They're up to episode 28.
Yeah, it's been a
get out of here.
No, they've been around for a while, dude. No joking.
So we missed almost a year of episodes.
Well, half a year, but yeah. I mean, but then again, most of the episodes are Rob Black sitting in his office talking to people.
I'm gonna say define miss.
But they do have they have matches. They got matches on the shows.
Is it worth 50 clams though? to see that in
person? What are you?
No, no way. It's not
worth it. You know what? It might be worth it just to see how bad it is.
Are they running it out of Philly? You said, or is this Jersey?
No, this is Jersey. This is like, I'm telling you, it's like.
No, I thought their offices were like upstate New York somewhere out of some pizzeria. Now look at that, Heine's and everything.
I'm not mad at that.
Can we throw that on the stream, or is that possible?
Yeah, give me a second.
All right, we got it. We got live coverage, people.
Heine's in the stream. That is what we are.
Run away with me
to another place.
There we go.
And we'll rely on each other.
Uh-huh. Press play, my friend.
All right. Oh my, what? I mean, I'm okay with
this. This is the opening of the XPW.
Who is that?
That's the TV champ.
It's Ass Cheeks McGee.
She got a shit locker. Look at that.
Yeah, there's a little cottage cheesy there.
No way.
Stop it. Look who's there.
That's a nice shit locker.
Yeah. Shit locker.
Heartbreaker. Shit locker.
What is she trying on?
I don't know. She's got a t-shirt on. She's very excited about it. Oh, it says now fuck Rob
her
Black.
Fans page.
Who is that?
It should say I fucked Rob
That's
Black.
That's Cat. Whatever. She's the TV champ, I think.
Cat in a hat?
Cat Martini?
You said Cat, not Kate, right?
K-A-T, I'm out of here.
Oh, my God.
So she's on the fucking phone. What kind of dog shit wrestling is it? Oh, look at that. Side memorabilia, other cool shit.
Yeah, go to the XPW store.
Oh, this is an ad.
Get a parking ticket from Ultaboy?
Wait. They're showing Bully Ray? They're showing fucking...
No, it's just a fight.
If he's part of this, I'm definitely not paying for it.
Well, fucking Brian Cage.
Oh, yeah, Brian Cage is part of this.
Wolverine.
What shit. Fuck? No, Eric Fried, he's asking if this is live. No, this is available on Fight TV. Why are we watching the NWA now?
Because I'm trying to fast forward to this death match.
Yo, what do they got? 50, is this studio wrestling? Like, look at this.
This is the venue.
Tony, this is the Christmas podcast.
This reminds me of Choco Pro.
Look at this dude with the Pepsi.
He's like, yeah,
he's feeling himself.
Oh, shit. Look at this place.
What, Ryan Sullivan, what the hell?
This is what AEW is going to turn into, bro. Keep watching.
Holy Christ. Oh, shit. All right. So it's free on Fight. I think we have like the next like year's worth of watch alongs. We want to fucking sit around and watch XPW.
Well, if you guys ever get bored on Wednesday nights of doing an AEW show, I'm sure the XPW show would get some listens as well.
I gotta see what we got here.
Oh, shit, balls.
On Cage Match.
That was fucking great.
Let's see. The last event they ran was in Pomona, California on December 16th. XPW Merry Christmas 2.
Holy Electric sequel. Boogaloo.
Fuck yeah.
They don't have any results.
Because nothing happened.
What about XPW Halloween in Hell 4?
Shitlocker Lola defeats Dishrag Molly.
Shitlocker Lola.
I guess it's all on Fight TV.
Schlack beats Mr. Clean in a detergent death match.
There actually is a Mr. Clean now.
Why am I not surprised?
Barbed Wire Bruno takes on Thumbtack Tony.
It's like Rob Black is a pack of garbage pail kids. It's the names of these people.
Listen, God bless them. I wish nothing but success for this, but it's just and, so yeah, freaking
more wrestling
weird.
Is good wrestling, good yeah. or bad, you know what I'm saying?
But the name XPW, like, how much value do you think that ever actually had?
I don't know, like, but I enjoyed some of those DVDs thoroughly.
Yeah?
When FYE first opened, I bought them all.
Did you? The XPWs. Yeah, yep. So was that your like alternative to like
that was just yeah, my dirty ECW, my like, I guess guilty pleasure of just what you know.
I got some WXWs if you want to borrow them. Women's Extreme Wrestling.
I'm not mad at that. I'll burn them to the hard drive.
So wow. Matt, did what? when ECW was kind of like in its heyday, did you partake in the XPW?
When ECW went away, like the XPW was the alternative. Like they had Terry Funk and Sabu and Raven
Shane Douglas
was there, yeah.
And then like Messiah, like in all those, like I think Abyss was Supreme. There, right? Supreme,
yeah.
I think I had like one or two VHS.
I
tapes.
Got several of them on DVD.
That's wild. I never got into the not by like no like disrespect or anything like that. I just never
T3
watched it.
Big those man. Plane slices.
Yes, he brought you down some plain
slices. Oh, you're the best. I don't care what your dad says
no,
about
you. No,
you
moved the camera, you hand job.
No, your dad talks mad shit about you, son. And you're looking out.
You still got adjusted muscles.
Yeah, come back here.
Your old man's not.
Turn it a little bit this way. Perfect.
Thank you, T3.
Thank you, dude.
Good looking out.
You just called your son a hand job on the radio.
Yeah, well, hey, T3.
Oh, really?
You're number one, too, kid.
Hey, can I ask him?
T3.
Yeah, come on over.
Go to the fridge and get him a beer real quick.
No, don't do that.
Why? He can't give me a Down East?
Down East.
One of the on the door.
Give him one that looks awful.
Get him a Stone Cold.
What?
By God.
Do you want to throw it to me?
Yeah, that's it.
It's not for me. It's for him.
It's all right.
So you can say hi to everybody. Wave to the camera.
Get in there.
Hey. Yo, give us the most muscular. Come on.
Do it.
Come on. Take out the guns, bro.
He's coming back.
Just for some to see the evolution of T3.
Just for some context, just so you know, when we started this podcast, we had to do it on Thursday nights at 9 o'clock because your bedtime was before 9 o'clock.
This is true.
That's right.
Yeah. We had to come in the back door to make sure you were asleep. And now you're a strapping young man who's taking goofy pictures of your father when he's working out. He looks like he's shitting his pants.
Seriously.
Did you see the picture he shared in the Discord?
Because I feel like we need to, the people need to know, like when we started this, you were so freaking young. Fala Ba came in, hugged you with a title belt.
Yeah, dude, you were tiny.
Yeah, dude, you beat up Drew Gulak for your dad.
You beat up, cool. You tried to fight Drew Gulak, who's a wrestling master.
He's a technician.
Say it to his face. Tell Drew Gulak.
Yeah. T3 knows.
Look at these vascular muscles.
Look at that.
That's T3.
That's this fucking slob over here. This
deliciousness.
My eyes suck, I guess.
you sure you don't want to join us for a little bit? We're talking wrestling. What do you always do?
Nothing.
That's it.
He's got better things to do, man.
That's the idea.
We're talking about violent wrestling and hiney holes.
Shit lockers.
Like shit lockers, butt cheeks.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
And we're talking about great parenting.
You know, he's got your search history. You know what he's looking at.
Not what he's looking for.
His voice,
right?
That ain't wrestling talk. You jive turkey motherfucker.
He's a man.
Look, man. I'm dealing with the same thing right now. Yeah. He's 6 foot. Was a size 14.
Sure. Yeah, Mikey's a monster. He's taller than all of us.
Yep.
It's crazy.
Who wins in a fight, T3 or Mikey?
Oh, we're not doing that shit.
Come on.
They're from a different era, man. They might not fight each other at all. They might just hug it out and go on Discord or something.
They might have to go back to back to defend the fucking...
They might go on Fortnite to blow it out.
Fuck yeah.
They're not going to fight each other. Wouldn't happen.
No, we promote peace here.
Unless we do like G.I. Joe style and like do like the manipulating thing like Cobra had in the arena. Put the headbands on them, make them fight.
Don't fight. Just be a good man.
Well, thank you for bringing Phil down some pizza. We almost killed him, giving him mushrooms.
Sure, thank you.
Is that what I should do? There you go. Thank you, T3.
Look at that. Wow. Look at that.
Thanks for bringing me over my Coca-Cola. Man.
Thanks, buddy.
You're the best.
Yeah. What did you get for Christmas?
Oh, yeah.
Well, get on mic. You got to get on mic. Right. Yeah, because nobody can hear you if you're not talking on mic.
I got, like, gym equipment. Oh, I got Lao Gan Ma.
Yeah, you got Lao Gan Ma.
What's that, like my wife?
Yes. It's the hot shit that John Cena would sell in China. Like you put on your food.
Oh, it's like hot sauce?
It's like crispy chili topping or some shit.
All right.
Yeah. And he got a squat rack and a bench press too.
You gonna whip your father into shape?
Yeah, we gotta do a little bit of work, right?
While he fucking eats a second garbage slice. Oh my God.
I'm not eating this week.
He's like, yell at mom again. See what happens.
I'm the fuck around and find out. This poor kid's probably eating egg whites at breakfast, and then dad's shitting his
pants. No, this son of a bitch is eating 2 pounds of fucking grilled chicken for breakfast. Yeah.
No.
You're a gorilla.
Whatever. At least he's not shitting his pants at the breakfast table like you.
Every morning.
Really? You got to get a diaper for this guy.
Wow.
Maybe you should be eating grilled chicken for breakfast, bro. It's good for you.
Yeah, maybe I should.
Eating Taylor ham and egg sandwiches.
You fucking slob.
Jesus Christ. I have an egg and I like to partake in a slice of Taylor ham.
You have an egg and it's fucking wedged between giant slabs of Taylor ham, as much cheese as is in the fridge, and then a
Jersey
giant
staple,
fucking
huh?
roll.
Taylor ham.
And then he wonders why he can't keep his shit in his asshole. You're like the fucking Exxon Valdez leaking all over the fucking place.
Every morning he's running to the bathroom.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Am I lying?
Putting dad on blast right now.
You would have got your pizza 20 minutes ago. I got a text back. I'm shitting.
Nice.
Like father, like son.
I hope you washed your hands before you brought Phyllis pizza.
I hope you didn't.
Say that one more time. I licked them clean.
Hey, yo.
Well, I mean, now we know why his breath smells like shit.
Oh, boy. All right, you can get out of here.
T3, ladies and gentlemen. Let's give it up for the T3.
Thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks for coming.
Take the back door out, by the way.
What? Really?
Legit gave the finger to his father. Listen, that's what we call a great.
That was a nice run-in. I like that.
Yeah, it's going to suck when I show my his mother the footage later, him flipping me off.
You're going to throw him under the bus? What a fucking terrible move.
Margie doesn't watch this. Does she?
God forbid. Why are you looking at girls' asses on screen? I don't
know. Look, I didn't. I just clicked on the first. I'll take the heat for that.
I just clicked, heat to take, bro. It's all good.
Just clicked on the first XPW video, and the fucking Coolie Ghoulie showed up. The TV champ.
Marge be like, why is Phil calling her a shitlocker?
Yeah. The shitlocker term I haven't heard in a while. That was weird.
It's kind of like footlocker.
Fair enough.
All right.
Kevin, how do you feel about the Miz's new muscle?
He's back. Bronson Reed, Jonah. Another one of Triple H's freaking misfit toys that he's bringing back to the stable.
He had a really nice run in the G1 too.
Look, he had a great run in him. His impact stuff was great. His stuff with PCO was good. Yeah. His match with Josh Alexander was really good. And his G1 run was great.
So here's the thing. It bothers me only because like The Miz seems to always be paired up with guys that would not be ever considered like with The Miz. Like Ciampa, they paired with him. And like now Bronson Reed is now with him. Like on what universe would Miz and Bronson Reed, other than maybe being a hired gun, like would they be together or would they be friends or like they'd be running buddies? So like that's the only thing that bothers me. And it doesn't bother me like I'm being dramatic about that, but it's just so. All right, Tony.
Sorry. Could have done it into the mic.
I was trying. Yeah. I don't want to interrupt with the whole.
Oh, no, but you did, though. So what do you have to say about Bronson rejoining The Miz, Tony?
He just said it.
Rejoining The Miz? Look, like The Miz has never really had a successful partner, right?
John Morrison.
Well,
Truth. Yeah, him and like Truth were good.
Huh?
Him and Truth
him
were
and
good.
Truth were great.
Yeah.
And him and even Alex Riley before they.
Yeah, to Varsity Club 2.0.
Yeah, but nobody's really like gotten over higher than The Miz has. I mean, The Miz is a former 2-time world champion. Yeah.
Well, he was with Damian Sandow too, right? That was
Mizdow was great. Mizdow,
yeah, but then they took that away from Damian Sandow. And
yeah. No, you're right, Tony.
So the bigger question, and Kevin, you kind of alluded to it, like another one of Triple H's guys, but like, is Karrion Kross and Scarlett in a feud with fucking Tenille?
No, Rey Mysterio.
And Rey Mysterio.
I thought Rey Mysterio was feuding with his kid yet.
Is Tenille a part of it?
I thought there was a weird like backstage
thing. There was, because I watched SmackDown. There was a weird thing. I don't know if they're connected. And they also did like some weird social media thing where Dominic showed up to Rey Mysterio's house with Rhea Ripley and then tried to challenge Rey Mysterio to a fight. And then Rey Mysterio's wife, Dominic's mom, tried to slap him. And then Rhea kind of like blocked it. And then the cops came and arrested Dominic Mysterio. So they're building up to Dominic versus Rey at Mania.
Domestic violence always works in wrestling.
They did it at Thanksgiving too.
Yeah, the same thing. Yep, they did the exact same thing at Thanksgiving. 100%.
I like the consistency.
It's a vague consistency, if that makes sense. It's like they don't do it every week or they don't do it every 2 weeks. It's like once a month they bring it to you just to remind you that it's still a thing and it still matters and we're going to get Rey Mysterio down.
Yeah, it's the holiday season. It's not like they're going to show up at their house on fucking MLK Day. Like they're having a party.
You think they do another vignette for New Year's?
I don't think so.
Like Rey answers the door, his mask is half on because he's drunk.
If Dom...
he's like, come on, man, this shit again?
If Dominic kisses Rhea Ripley right in front of their face, that would be cool. But Rhea
Rhea Ripley's like the master, and it's not like a real relationship. You know what I mean?
Well, S&M.
Yeah. Like if
well, she's dressed for it.
Yeah. And if Dominic shows up as Gags the Gimp, then yes.
Oh, Gags. Nice.
I'm not mad at that.
And then they do that right in front of their freaking parents.
So Bronson's back, though. So it's just to the list of NXT, and it feels like Triple H's guys are just like...
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to me. It like, because no one on the main roster knows who he is. Because he didn't have that long of a great run. And he had a good run in NXT, not a great run.
The only thing that would make sense is if they push him hard, like after they break him off from The Miz. Like if there's a story behind, like if they make him like a mid-card champion of some sort, then to me it'll make sense. Other than that, then I agree. It doesn't make sense at all.
Yeah, it makes sense to bring him back because he has talent.
Yeah, no, of course. But if they're going to push him and then stick him with The Miz right now, and then break, you know how to break him off.
And this has been a long going conversation that we've had about the people that they bring back and how not everybody can be in the top spot. So like, just because you're brought back doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be in a viable, luxurious position.
Right.
There's going to be places on the card for all of these people. And Bronson Reed may have found his spot. And if he does and he makes it work, then God bless him.
Yeah, he just proved though in the last 2 years that he can hang in every promotion he's been at, though.
Dude, him and Josh Alexander and Impact was incredible. Yeah,
Josh is still champion over there at Impact?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, he's going like to wrestle. He's going to wrestle your boy, Bully Ray.
At Hard to
Fuck
Kill.
Fuck him. Cockbag. Piece of garbage.
Former guest of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
Yeah, yeah, whatever.
Hall of Famer, Bully Ray.
That's yeah, he can right. go eat a bag of fried dicks.
Yeah, he's on the list for you?
Yeah, yeah. The La Bamba plane list, I call it.
Oh, does that plane list have does that plane ride have room for some of my favorites?
Yes, yes.
Great.
It does.
All right, so we could put Ken Patera,
Jacques
Rougeau,
Honky Tonk Man.
What's your heat with the
Larry Zbysko,
Honky Tonka Man?
I don't do AM FM radio. I don't do podcasts.
Yep.
Meanwhile, then next week Colt Cabana presents. Go fuck your hand. Oh. Jerry Lawler's cousin. And you fit in a jumpsuit, you bag of douche.
What's wrong with Larry Zbysko, the living legend?
Which charge us $50 for 10 minutes? $50 each 10 minutes for a podcast.
What did Fonzie want to charge us?
I think Fonzie wanted...
He wanted two bills for an hour.
Two? Yeah. I don't put him on the bat. See, that doesn't bother me.
It's just the way he came off of it. Like, the way the email exchange is retarded. That's a, I mean, I don't care about what he charges. Just the fact that he played off like he's... You know, like he's better than what he is.
What about our boy Aldo Montoya?
He took Choppy's.
Oh, what happened with that? Tell that.
He took Choppy's money, basically, yep. And then promised to come on the show and then said that he was having power problems where he lives in Connecticut. And when Choppy called him on the phone, he was all like fucked up and stuff. And then I called him out because within days he was on somebody else's podcast. Saying he was fine, everything was great. He didn't sound like he was slurring his words. And I liked him too because he was part of us for a while. You know,
yep.
He was cool with all of us.
Yep.
And I
still
just,
is, as far as I'm, but
I mean, honestly, he broke that bridge, man, because it's like you don't take somebody's money and then be a dick about it. Like you take somebody's money and apologize, maybe we'll forgive you, but you take your money and you be a dick
and
about
just,
it.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, you can go fuck your hand. Yeah, you know,
you're right.
And listen, I'm compassionate when it comes to junkies. My dad was a junkie, but this guy's a fucking bag of douche. So God bless him. Hope he doesn't die on drugs, you know. So
there you go.
Wow, my list is just people who said they would do the show and didn't show up.
Yeah. Oh, what's her face did that too to us? Ashley Mazzaro.
Well,
she like the day of, she's like she on the phone. Yeah, Phil, I'm gonna come on. Da da da. And then like half hour before the show, no, I can't come on. Okay, whatever.
Charlie Haas.
Yeah,
he's on the list. Charlie Haas, Ken Patera, Jacques Rougeau.
No, there was more.
There's indie guys that are on the list too, obviously.
Oh, well, Ken Dixon can go fuck himself.
Yeah, and Larry Legend, right?
No, I don't. Larry Legend and me squashed that.
Oh, okay. You did? Okay.
Because it was something with somebody else who was associated with the Wizards.
Oh, the cancer.
And that was associated with Eric Pleska, so.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
Birds of a feather stick together.
There you go, Kev. You were expecting it, and there it comes.
Guy said anaphylactic. He's good. He can do whatever he wants from here on out.
Yes. I get a pass. I got to go.
Guy said anaphylactic.
Go, go, Graviton.
It's not personal either, by the way. It's just, it's show related. I don't.
Yeah, really, it's, you know, I don't, none of it is personal. You
know, but that La Bamba plane's getting pretty full. You know.
Maybe we go to like a John Denver plane?
No. That was a terrible accident.
So was the La Bamba plane.
Nah. What if we just let him Sonny Bono down a hill on a pair of skis?
Ooh.
Sonny Bobo.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not mad at that, T.
Who's the actress chick that hit her head and she thought everything was fine and then she died?
Oh, no. I can't talk about this. I don't like this.
Snooker's girlfriend?
No.
Oh.
Natasha some shit.
Nancy
on her, right?
Benoit? No. Merry Christmas. Hope you didn't get a foot in your stocking like Kamala.
Natasha Richardson, she was downhill skiing and she wrapped her head into a tree. She fucking
wrapped her head into a tree.
Well, I mean, hit her head on a tree.
When to become one.
She was on the hill with a skiing instructor. Oh, here we go. It's the whole biography.
She's a pretty lady.
Oh, she was. She worm food now. Richardson was on the hill with an instructor nearing the bottom of beginner's trail when she toppled. Fuck, I don't want to sign up for biography. Toppled over, her head free from the confinement and protection of a helmet, banged against the still hard packed snow. She didn't even hit a tree. She banged her head on the snow. She said she was fine. And paramedics arrived an hour later. They weren't needed, so they left.
Well, somebody did not do their job.
Holy shit. Oh, my God. By 3 p.m., the dispatcher indicated the increasing urgency of the situation. So she felt fine. And 3 hours later.
Phil, who's your favorite wrestler of all time?
Great question. This is where we need to go. This is
it's 1A, 1. It's 1A, 1B. It's Dusty and
Bruno.
No. And probably either Paul Orndorff or Ric Flair.
Okay. You got to pick one because this is.
I'll go Dusty.
All right. What are you putting in Dusty's stocking for Christmas?
Ooh, I like this.
A lightning bolt.
Shirts that fit him.
Any kind of skin thing to maybe get rid of the blotch?
No, because that's the thing. It's a birthmark.
That's like his tattoo.
Yeah, basically. But I would just buy him clothes that fit him. He'd wear the best, like these awesome starter jackets, all these collegiate teams or pro teams. Like the Celtics gave him a jacket that didn't fit him. You know, or David Allen Cole gave him a shirt, didn't fit him, you know, stuff like that.
The rodeo song guy?
Fit. Huh?
The rodeo song guy?
No, the suit.
David Allen Cole. He's a.
Not David Allen Coe.
Oh.
Yeah. David Allen Coe.
Yeah, I would give Dusty like some wardrobe tips, man. For big people like
his suit game was tight.
Suit game was
no,
dope.
His fucking fur coat game was fantastic. His fur coat
game was Flair's fault.
His fancy attire was tight,
dude. Yeah. Seeing him and Magnum TA on 605 rocking the fucking full length fur coats.
The story behind that is amazing,
fucking unbelievable.
They were in like Las Vegas, and Flair bought his wife a coat, and Dusty's wife said, "Well, how come I don't have a coat like that?" So Dusty went in and brought the next one expensive, and then it became a thing back and forth. And then they bought Magnum one. So that's a great story, but they always try to compete with suits and cars.
Of course.
Suits and cars, that's the thing. So Dusty had as many cool cars as the Horseman did. You just didn't see him on TV because he was the common man.
That's right. You know, son of a plumber.
Son of the plumber from Texas, blue eyes soul.
That's right. Riding on the edge of a lightning bolt.
And I reserved this stratosphere for me and you.
God, such a good promo. And we talk about this a lot, but like how Dusty went to WWE and how he still managed to get the polka dot stuff over.
15-year-old Phil was angry at Polka Dot Dusty.
Polka Dot Dusty?
I thought it was a joke.
Like, it was a joke.
Well, technically, yeah. But after seeing him have that run, you know, he was just world champion 3 years before that.
He could have been world champion in WWE.
He didn't want to, though.
Oh, he didn't want to?
No, he didn't. He just said, Vince, I want to come and work. That's it. And Vince put him, you know.
I think Dusty, like, he was so good. Like, and it stinks, though, because, like, one of my favorite pay-per-views is, like, Survivor Series 1989. And he had, like, it was him in, like, mid-card Central Universe. I really feel like Dusty could have been world champion in WWE.
Of course. I thought so, too.
Yeah. I mean, you had Warrior, you had Hogan, you had Savage, you had DiBiase, and Andre at that point,
Dusty
too.
Makes that list of guys who should have been world champion. Matt and I had this conversation on the way here with Mr. Perfect. There's like a 10-man, 5-man list that could have been guys of that era should have been world champion. Him, Rick Rude, I'll throw Dusty in there.
You know, Rick Rude and Perfect, maybe not for long term, but no, definitely but, could have been world champion.
Yeah. 100%. Even if you had to hot shot it, it was that those guys deserved it.
And Matt, even like Owen Hart in like 1994 with Brett could have had like a short term run with it.
I thought after that Survivor Series. 1996 and 7, Owen Hart was more seasoned than 1994.
Right. But just for the feud, though, for the feud's sake, if he takes the belt off Brett, then Brett gets it back from him.
Yeah, but I think I think Backlund work was serviceable.
Oh, Backlund was tremendous.
I posed this question to Phil because we spent a lot of time in the car today. Is there any person that makes the Black Scorpion gimmick work?
All right, so sorry, Phil. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
What, just remind me. This was the when Ric Flair ended up being the Black Scorpion.
Started with Al Perez.
Yes,
and then Ole Anderson was doing the voice.
Yes,
yeah.
Ooh. And then it ended up with Flair.
All right, so I'll let Phil answer that because he's more knowledgeable than I am on this.
What about Tony?
Yeah, I'm thinking.
What's with the headphones? What are you listening to?
What do you mean?
The show. I'm imagining.
Oh, I didn't know. Oh, sorry.
What? These are my fucking... I've been wearing these for the past hour. I wear them every week when we do the show. What are you... Are you serious, bro?
I just... Really...
So Matt just... All right, so I'm going to paint the picture. Matt just realized that Tony wasn't wearing traditional... Pot Studio A,
wow.
Headphones.
He's like, "What are you listening to, buddy?" Well, because before I'm pulling up this photo that was up on the screen, and I look down, and he's like looking at his phone. So I thought, like, maybe he's trying to finish watching Raw that we're gonna talk about.
Yeah. So we talked about Al Perez, and we've had this conversation, Tony, about Al Perez. How Al Perez was that guy that he never stayed long enough somewhere.
Yeah,
could have pushed him. If they would have stuck him there for a while, maybe he would have. It would have made sense. But Flair.
What year was this?
90?
No, this was because 90. No, wasn't 92 yet. It was probably 90.
Who would have been big enough from WWE to come over as a surprise?
So now would it have to be a surprise, or could it have been like a turn? The only turn would have been what they did with it, which was Flair. Not
I would have been Barry Windham, the Black Scorpion.
I was thinking Barry Windham, but Barry Windham, that stupid freaking fake Sting thing, right?
Halloween Havoc.
Yeah.
With Sid.
So now would Al Perez have... I think Al Perez was just a body. I don't think...
Like, Al Perez was good. Al Perez didn't stay long anywhere, and he needed a mouthpiece.
Right, but he wouldn't have been anything anyway, I don't think.
When did Jake come in? 93, 92.
Spin the gimmick deal.
What if they would have got Jake 2 years earlier?
Oh, earlier, yeah.
Okay.
Holy shit.
And nobody knows it's Jake until he finally gets his hands on Sting and he drops him with the DDT. And they go, oh, fuck. Now you're thinking, is it Arn Anderson?
And he's a name. Like, fans would know him.
But the DDT, does it give it away? Maybe it doesn't.
Arn Anderson has such like a recognizable build.
Yeah, this is true.
So they did the same thing with like the Man in the Mask in like 94, 95.
Yes.
With like the Butcher and Kevin Sullivan, where Arn Anderson was there.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Like, Flair had such a... that you couldn't hide that beak in that.
Yes.
So like people instantly knew it was him. That was the main event of the 1990 Starrcade.
Yeah, 89 was the... We did that as a throwback on one of the Christmas shows. That was the tournament.
Wasn't the cage match with Sting and Flair?
Yes. 89 was the tournament, wasn't it?
90 is the tag team tournament.
No, the one the
Starrcade 89 was Flair and Sting. It's gotta be.
No, Starrcade 89 was they had the tag team tournament and the singles tournament. 89 was Future Shock.
Future Shock.
Yeah, that was the round robin thing.
Yes.
God, yeah.
Yeah.
Brutal.
With Flair.
Great Muda,
Sting, Muda, and Luger. 90, they did the tag tournament.
Collision course,
right. So am I confusing Great American Bash with Starrcade? When did Sting beat Flair?
Great American Bash.
Great American Bash.
Okay. Yeah. Because then he got hurt after he did that, right?
I think so. I think you're right.
And that might have been, was that 92? Not 92, no, but 90.
I'm not talking like 88. When Sting won the belt. Or am I thinking, oh, God, I'm so fucking stupid.
Jake was still there in WWF in that time, right? When Black Scorpion thing was going on, 89?
Yes.
He was shooting with Andre, right?
The Black Scorpion is 90.
Jake, I'll tell you right now, Jake in 90 was still a babyface. He, at Survivor Series 90, it was him, the Bushwhackers and Snuka
So he was still a babyface, and he was feuding with Martel.
Sting won his first world title at Great American Bash 1990.
Okay, so that was 1990.
And then he hurt himself at Clash of the Champions trying to climb the cage.
He was out for a year. Tore his ACL.
And then that's where we got Flair leaving, and we got the whole Great American Bash.
And I'm sure that's where maybe Luger stepped in, Tony, with Luger at some point.
Well, it was the cage match with Luger and Wyndham.
Yeah.
That fucking debacle of a pay-per-view.
And then Luger had the... They didn't have a title for him, so they used a tag team title.
No, it was the Florida Heavyweight Championship.
Florida Heavyweight Championship, yeah.
They put a fucking piece of tin on it that said world champion some shit or other. Holy shit. Good times. Yeah, PN News and fucking, who was it, Bobby Eaton?
Eaton?
Against Steve Austin. Who the fuck
fucking scaffold match.
Yeah, who was in the scaffold match? Who was with Steve Austin? Maybe it was Steve Austin and Bobby Eaton?
Yeah, it was against PN News.
Big Josh.
Was it Big Josh?
I think it was Big Josh. Or did Big Josh have a singles match in that show? I don't remember. It's all a fucking terrible
dude.
What's that, Super Brawl?
It was
Great American Bash 91.
It's so nuts that I remember all of these shows, but I don't remember them. Like, I've watched them all. I just don't remember. Like, it had to have been PN News. Because PN News and Big Josh as a team was
PN News and Bobby Eaton against Steve Austin and Terrence Taylor.
That was it. Terrence Taylor.
Capture the flag.
Oh, that was such a terrible match.
Scaffold match.
Awful. Awful.
God bless all of them. That was so terrible. I'm gonna throw something up on the on the screen here to change pace here. So what do you guys think? This is from F and Ronnie about the rumor of the blackout match at the Rumble between Bray Wyatt and LA Knight.
What does that mean? Like
dummy.
Is that a lights out match?
I guess it's
non-sanctioned.
So the WWE, in conjunction with Mountain Dew, have advertised the pitch black match where anything can happen.
Lazy booking.
So according to Dave Meltzer, and this was reported 6 hours ago, a new type of match may be making its debut at the Royal Rumble. A commercial aired during videos on WWE's YouTube channel has seemingly indicated the first ever pitch black match will take place at next month's Royal Rumble pay-per-view. The advertisement is a tie-in for Mountain Dew's pitch black flavor, which is returning to stores in January. So when it's the pitch black match, anything can happen.
It sounds fucking terrible.
It sounds terrible, and I'll tell you why. Because the Royal Rumble is the Royal Rumble's day. If they're doing two like extreme gimmick matches, there's two Royal Rumbles, right? There's the women's and the men's, and now you're gonna do this? Are you out of your freaking balls?
Is this on the pre-show to sell the what's it called premium live?
That's how it would work.
All right, so
the PLE.
That's good. So I'll allow that if that's the case.
I don't like call. Can I? I'm just going to put this out here for you guys going forward.
Do it.
I will not be referring to them as PLEs. I will continue to call them pay-per-views.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Okay, I've adjusted to calling it the WWE, and it hurts my soul when I do that, but I will not call it a PLE.
I agree.
I'm with you.
Okay.
I will try. I might, but I'm not going
to. No, I just don't think I can.
Both Rumble matches are an hour apiece. You got to reserve the last 45 minutes to an hour for some championship matches. I don't think you put the Bray Wyatt thing in there.
Yeah, and who knows what's going to happen with, like, maybe if The Rock is back or if Roman, you're going to have maybe have Roman and Sammy and do stuff. Like, that's like.
It's got to be something, you know, to set off the season, you know?
And that's probably, Matt, I think you're right. I think if it's a pre-show match with Bray and LA Knight to just get Bray out of that. Then yes, dummy. I'm with you. I would accept it, but I wouldn't like it. So, that's my take.
Thank you, Ronnie, for your question. You're a good man.
Very good guy.
Phil, I know you have a couple tattoos. I'm pretty tatted up. Did you guys see Homeboy's giant NXT WWE tattoo on his chest?
I saw it on Twitter.
Dildo!
What a fucking dildo this guy is.
Dude.
And he wants to get NXT on his throat. I hope they fire him the next fucking day after he gets it.
I was always taught that tattoos should represent you in some way. Like something happened to you or something that represents you, you know. So I stick to that theme. I'm not going to get any logos on mine unless they're sports related.
Is this better or worse than the jackass that has the winged eagle tattooed around his abdomen?
It's not worse at all. It's better.
You think?
100%. Because he works there.
For now, forever.
Well, was that guy ever the winged eagle champion?
No, but that guy made a conscious decision. Like, I'm going to put this on me for my love of professional wrestling.
So if, like, the guy gets fired tomorrow, does that mean he's not a fan of WWE?
No, but do you hold, like...
Like, he goes to AEW, he's got a WWE tattoo on his chest.
And if the Winged Eagle guy has that permanently tattooed on him, that means you can fight him in the fucking men's bathroom at the arena.
Yeah, but you can't take it off.
What are you going to do, take his fucking belly off him?
Just beat him and say, I beat you for that belt.
Yeah, but you don't get it. That's the thing.
I don't get it, but I get kicking his ass, though. Just for you know, shits and giggles. You having that stupid tattoo on you.
I mean, it's not small. Like, if he got like a...
It's a lot of work.
I put like something out there, like how much money would it take for you to get a company's logo tattooed on you? And some people have like a WWE logo tattooed on them, which is fine if you love the product. This is giant, and it's like...
And he's a wrestler. So he's going to be putting himself out there all the time as part of his profession.
Unless he's wrestling in a fucking sweatshirt like The Rock did for like a year and a half. Oh.
Rock had titty issues.
I know. It's a fucking bold move, dude.
It's asinine.
I agree with that it's a bold move, but I have no issue with it at all.
And you hear like WWE is so critical of people getting like tattoos or haircuts or stuff. Like, I don't know how this gets greenlit.
I guess because it's their name.
They're probably all laughing in the back going, we can't wait to fire this fucking hand job.
And he's going to get an NXT tattoo on his neck. That's like...
Dumb.
Let him go to Cody's guy to get the neck tattoo. Make it nice and colorful.
That's a lot.
It's painful.
Look, if you want to get a tattoo of the WWE logo on you, that's fine. This is a giant tattoo. It's on his breast. It's giant. It's this big.
I think that just like shows... Like, you're like a diehard Mets fan, right? I'm a diehard Devils fan. If I ever had the Stones and Phil, Vikings, and if I ever had the Stones to get a tattoo of something that I truly, truly love, I would probably get it as big as possible. Like, if he loves the WWE, I know he works there, but...
Yeah, but you're also not a football player or a hockey player where you could be traded or go to another team or play in a different league or a different division.
All right, but you can...
This guy, like, he's plying his trade as a professional wrestler.
Yeah, I get tats where I can cover him up if I have to, you know, if I have to show face somewhere, like with a suit or something.
He's showing an immense amount of confidence in himself that he will be there for a very long time.
I hope he is.
Good luck, buddy.
You think they want their world champion to have NXT tattooed on his throat, though? I mean, it's you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, why not?
I don't know, man.
It's free advertising on your own show.
Well, you would think that somebody's already watching the show that you wouldn't have to advertise it, though, right?
But why have commercials?
I don't know. It's just that's a very, like, that's a, I don't know.
So, like, I would be, like, a tremendous defense attorney, I feel like. But I would also be a really good prosecutor, I think. Like, I don't hate the move at all. Like, if that's what he wants to do, he's showing dedication and confidence in the company that he works for.
But it puts a hinder on your profession, though.
Yep.
How?
Because if you work for another company, no one's going to want somebody else's company. It's like, you know, when the boxers used to have the advertisements on their trunks and stuff, or they have, like, these fake tattoos on their backs of, like, Caesar's Palace, you know? I don't think New Japan wants a WWF tattoo on their guy when they're wrestling, you know what I'm saying, or anybody for that matter. You know what I'm saying? I think it just hinders the profession.
I think we're getting too serious. I think we're reading too much into it. I mean, yes, WWE, like AEW, yeah, that's one thing. Maybe he'll have to wrestle with the shirt on.
Yeah, but, like, if you're a hockey
player, I don't think would give a
hockey
shit.
Hockey players aren't going to get a tat of the team when they get traded. They're not going to show it. You're not going to see it. It's not showing the jersey.
Hockey players' gear is tremendously covering.
Right, of course. Yeah.
I don't know. I think this is a nothing burger.
I don't know, man. I don't think I would do it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I would get a wrestling related tattoo, maybe, if I was in his position, you know.
Or get it, like, you know, you could still get it, like, put it on the inside of your arm or something. It doesn't have to be fucking giant on your chest, like
on your inner thigh, you know.
Because you know the way that company runs, tomorrow they could release fucking 60 people. And then this poor kid's walking around with this giant fucking WWE logo on his
or
chest.
God forbid they change their fucking logo or their name or either or.
Yeah, but it's Triple H. He'll bring him back in 6 months.
I am going to bring you back because I like your tattoo.
Well, speaking of bringing people back to WWE, Lana seems to think that fucking Miro is going to walk right out of AEW and go back.
Don't. I don't want it. Don't care. Don't want it. Don't give a shit. Fuck Miro. Fuck him.
She said it's something along the lines of everybody always winds up going back to WWE.
The love fest that people have for Miro is mind-boggling.
I just want to know what the thing was that he turned down. And not for anything. Whether you hate or love Tony Khan, if he's fucking paying you money to do something, unless you have something better that you think that, you know, might work the same way and you offer it up to him, you're going to fucking do it or you're not going to have a job. You know?
This is another example of self-entitlement.
Yeah.
Like someone owes you something because of some success you had somewhere.
Yeah.
This happens in sports a lot too. Like,
yep.
Oh, I did well here, so I should be compensated better in my next contract. But I'm not the age I was 10 years ago, 5 years ago.
Yep.
Or I'm not as talented as I was 10 years or 5 years ago.
And then you get a Russell Wilson who was great and now sucks. And now he'll still make the entire amount of money that he made.
Correct. Yeah. So with Miro, who's, I don't dislike him. He's nothing special at all.
Yeah, but the last gimmick he was doing was actually getting over quite well.
Yeah, and but he kept throwing jabronis at him. Like, they didn't even, he started wrestling on Dark after that. It was like,
well, he was a TNT champion. He did beat Darby, right?
Fucking Darby.
Right. And then what happened after that?
He lost it to Sammy?
Sammy or Cody? Didn't Cody have it?
Cody beat Sammy. Sammy, I think, beat Miro.
Yeah, because there was that weird interim championship, right? Because Sammy was hurt or something.
Either way. Whether you like,
I know
the guy
Cody
or not.
Beat Sammy. That's all.
Right. Either way, whether you like the guy or not, what merits what merits the attitude? That's my point. That's my question. What merits his attitude? Like, would this, like, you owe me something? Like, this, why? What does Dixie Con owe you? Yeah, nothing.
Miro did lose to Sammy Guevara.
Okay.
Now let's be fair here. This is his wife saying this, right?
My wife.
I like Jinkui.
Wow, wow, wee, wow.
So she might be speaking out of turn.
Most women do. This is purposefully done.
Wow.
She runs that house, bro. I'm telling you, she runs that house.
I mean, I saw the video. I know he's got a small little wanger.
My wang.
Wang, wang, wee, wah.
Yikes,
I mean, look, to play devil's advocate, though, I mean, he could fall right in line with FTR. Like, these guys were your IWGP World Tag Team Champions. They were never on TV.
For some
ungodly fucking reason, Jeff Jarrett's on my TV every week.
That was like when Ambrose was fucking U.S. champion for a year.
Like, I just don't understand.
My ass. He never defended it.
I don't understand how you can't find, and I don't want him to be the world champion. I'm also with you guys. He's decent, but I'm not like, this guy's the next world champion.
I'm not watching it. I'm not watching AEW because Miro's on. Sorry.
No, I'm with you, but there's, you know, I don't know.
I think it speaks to a bigger picture of how bloated the roster is. And like, so when we don't see somebody doing something that you might think that they should be involved in, it's just because it's somebody else in that spot. It's a super tough situation to be in when you hire everybody.
I said this afternoon to Matt. It's like putting 5 pounds of shit in a 2 pound bag. How many guys do you have, guys and girls, that are going to wrestle on YouTube now? Or on, you know, on the Friday show, because they don't have enough time dedicated to this talent.
Jackson coming to your TV on Fridays.
Right. But then you got a question like, so Miro can't get on TV. We haven't.
Yeah, but I want to know what he turned down. I want to know what fucking storyline shit that he didn't go through with.
So maybe it's in last week's
someone
notes.
Someone said it in the chat. Hold on. Ryan Schlong said it in the chat about maybe losing to Ricky Starks. He was not happy with that.
But he did in the tournament, didn't he?
Rumors are... All right, so I'll put this up here. Ryan Sullivan says, rumors are it was losing to Starks. He did not want to lose. I'm assuming that Ryan is saying that he did not want to lose to Ricky Stark.
Yeah, but he did in the tournament. That was the thing to set up the number one contender. The diamond in the rough or whatever. Not the diamond ring, the other fucking thing.
No, he lost to Lance Archer and...
Who?
Sasha's promo after they broke up Suzuki Goon. He's like, take the fucking chains off me. He said, I'm sorry I'm cursing, but take it. He goes, I'm sorry I'm cursing. I'm sorry I'm cussing. Take the fucking chains off me when I get back to AEW.
Yeah, so Suzuki Goon is done.
I can't.
Long overdue.
My son.
No.
My son's sad. My son's all about Suzuki. Got him a figure for Christmas. Loves him.
If it's probably one of the best things New Japan has ever done.
Suzuki Goon.
What they did to Brit, like this last match is one of the best things New Japan.
It told
has
a
ever
good
done.
Story. It did. Yeah.
Oh my god, yeah. It was unbelievable.
It did.
Worth going out of your way to watch.
100%.
Yeah.
The last match. It's Suzuki Goon versus Suzuki Goon. It's the last match.
Yeah, two different chapters of Suzuki Goon against each other.
I think he put it in the notes. My man with the iron fist fucking fighting and clawing to get in there afterwards is fucking awesome, too. Yeah. It is.
But, you know.
Wait, who's on the iron fist? Is that Tai Chi?
No.
Oh, Great Okan?
The OG is Takashi Azuka.
Yeah. So Suzuki Goon, Doki, Tai Chi, Kanemura and Zack Sabre Jr. defeated Suzuki Goon, El Desperado, Lance Archer, Minoru Suzuki, and Taka Michinoku. A fantastic send-off of the faction in New Japan. The match's story mirrored the faction's breakdown in more ways than one, an emotional, riveting, and beautiful affair. This was New Japan's match in a long time. Best, I guess they mean their best match in a long time.
But that, you know, it just goes to show with AEW, getting back to that, there's so many guys and girls that are not getting on TV that are so good, you know. And Lance Archer has a point. Like, why aren't I on TV?
Yeah. We got a new faction Wednesday night. Swerve's got a new faction. They bring in another new guy.
The Moguls. Well, no, he's been there. Oh, no, the new guy.
No, the new guy that nobody knew who the fuck he was.
The baseball player.
Yes. And now Parker Bordeaux is not in the trust funds.
And neither is Daivari. Now Daivari's with Sterling and the varsity athletes.
Yeah, it's just, you know, so what does that do for Sonny Kiss?
Hopefully doesn't hurt her.
Who cares about Sonny Kiss, right, Tony says? Right, but you know what, though? They pushed him, her, whatever it is. They pushed him to the moon, and then all of a sudden.
Did I say her? Him, her, whatever.
Yeah, it doesn't.
She knows. She
knows. He knows that I call her.
We're very good friends.
Yeah,
so it's all right.
But he's a great guy. Great talent.
It's not that. It's like all the fucking like now all of a sudden everybody's changing fucking factions and there's more factions. Like enough.
Yeah. I will if say they this, had TV time, it would make sense.
It's enough, dude. They have 400 people. They don't know what the fuck to do with them, so throw everybody in a group. That's why we got horse shit like the fucking Spanish announce people or whatever the fuck they're called.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what the fuck, dude? I hope the Maximals find them in a dark alley and fucking kick the shit out of them.
Which they can.
I hope they do. I really hope they do.
I'll tell you this, though, Matt. AEW, we talk about match of the year candidates. Hater Shida. Match of the year.
I heard it was a fucking banger.
It was tremendous, which almost made me like upset with the post-match shenanigans. Like Tony Storm coming back, cool. Like then you had then Saraya coming out. I wanted them to have like the biggest standing ovation ever because Hayter and Shida freaking tore the place down.
If they're smart, they'll keep the belt on her for a hot minute.
Oh, they will.
Because they need to start pushing some face fucking.
I'm all in for face fucking.
Yeah.
But Hayter's like still technically a bad guy because she's still like beat up.
And
she's still beat up
too.
Shida when Shida went after Baker.
Yeah.
She came to the rescue.
They need to like keep the belt on her for a minute. I think two or three AEW matches made match of the year on most of the top tens I saw on last Friday when we were doing the throwbacks. Some of the matches made match of the year. Top matches 22, but that definitely,
dude, Matt, I'm telling you,
yeah,
incredible match. The crowd absolutely ate it up, which makes the match 100 times better than it would be just for being a great match.
I'm not really into the women's wrestling as much as I should be, but
it was I'm not either. I tried.
But I'm telling you now, it's better now than when even from 10 years ago.
Oh yeah, 100%. You know? I'll go out of my way to watch it. I'm way behind this week with the holidays and all the shit.
Yeah, no, go out of your way. It was solid, man.
It was really, really good. Kind of foiled, like I said at the end, with like the the Tony Storm returned, and so you had Tony Storm, Saraya, and Sheeta like just hanging out in the ring at the end, like doing their best like stare down stuff. But the fact that they got a main event and the match was so
because they just good. Can't let the main event be the main event. They always have to have something going.
That's
on
a afterwards. Good segue question. Let me ask the room: Does it hurt the telecast when they main event with a women's match and the women aren't that good?
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
Like, does it kill it? Because I'm like disgusted after I watch like fucking Nia or whatever the hell his name is.
Nyla
Rose against anybody, and they main evented it, and I'm like, oh, come on, man.
I just never thought Nyla was that good. Never.
To main event. Yeah. Not bad in the ring, but like to main event.
No. Nyla, to me, maybe has improved an inch, but I'm just not a fan. Not a fan.
Just like,
matches against Riho. Riho's fucking less than 100 pounds. But, and you're fucking gassed. I'm like, come on. But you're not at that level.
Like, even SmackDown was doing that for a while. Or they would main event with a women's match, and they weren't that good.
I remember when everybody was all like, oh my God, like Lita and Trish, they're main eventing a Raw, and they made a big deal out of it. But now.
Well, it was a big deal.
Back then it was a big deal. It wasn't that many. No,
fair enough.
That made sense, though.
Yeah, but like. Nowadays, like, I don't know.
Now that the chicks are a dime a dozen and five of them are good.
Well, see, yeah, because the bars, you know, you can't, because you're going from Bailey and Sasha to, like, I don't know, Carmella and Dana Brooks. Like,
yeah, nobody gives a shit about Carmella.
But they're not main eventing SmackDown, Maddie.
No, well, I don't really watch a lot of the WWE. You can't,
this is where I hate Dixie Khan, man. He just is shit. That booking is terrible.
Both companies are questionable in what they choose to put on the main event. Like, if it's
I just more noticeable with AEW lately. That's all. Like, I'm used to the whole WWE.
Well, AEW also doesn't do any favors to the women because they start a women's match, then they go to fucking commercial, picture in picture.
Yep.
And then you come back and the match is over.
I hate picture in picture. By the way, we know the match isn't going to end, so just go to a commercial.
Their women's division is from like 9:05 to like 9:45, like 9:30, and then that's it.
That's it. So you only have 2 hours, man. Make it count.
It stinks that they put them on at the hour that they don't think that people are gonna watch. But they did do the main event. I'm telling you right now, it was perfection.
That was good. It was a great match, you know. And they hit a home run. But normally, they main event with the chicks. It's disgusting.
Right, Tony?
Yes.
Well, I'm hoping we get the Jordan Grace, Mickey James at Hard to Kill should be a banger.
Yep. Had a little tag action.
Muscles versus cutlets.
Roast beef, bro. Come on.
Now the question is, I know we have to get to our rewind, but is the question, does Mickey James win the belt and retire, or does she go out losing to Jordan and then...
Right, she should do the job of Jordan.
Yeah, my gut tells me she's going to win, but the way it should be is that she should lose to Jordan Grace.
I think she loses and she shows up at the Royal Rumble with her husband.
Again?
Ooh.
This time she's not under a fucking contract,
ooh,
buddy.
Ooh, hardcore country?
That's it.
Don't hate, bro. What do you got against Mickey James?
I'm hating. Nick Aldis Nick Aldis needs to be on my TV.
Where does he wind up now that he's done?
He'll be at the Rumble.
Yeah.
Oh my God! Imagine they fucking like he comes out and he does the fucking putt and he looks at the sky for it.
I wonder if people will fucking care, amazing. Though.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Like, is Nick Aldis had a good run? With
Nick
Cody.
Nick Aldis may be the guy that needs some vignettes to bring him in.
Yes. I'll
he's not a Cody where at WrestleMania, holy shit, everybody knows who Cody is.
Or an AJ Styles at the Rumble.
If you bring in and like you show footage of him with the 10 pounds of gold and coming out with the fucking jacket on and looking out into the crowd, you know, like on the ropes and shit. Thanks for holding my hand, dude. He says like, you know, Nick Aldis, like the fucking.
The national treasure.
Yeah, the national treasure. Yeah.
You have to bring him in as a new person.
Yeah, and like, then they'll say like, we'll see him at whatever the pay-per-view is. If you want to debut him.
Or he ruins it for Cody when Cody comes back.
I was just going to say like.
They got heat.
I would love to see that on that stage.
I was at that rematch.
You got to build him. He has to be built.
If there was ever an alternative to him taking the belt off Roman, Cody that is. It would be Cody, Nick Aldis, and WWE. I'm not mad at that 100%.
Dude, that match in Chicago, I was there for that. That was fantastic.
I would take that a million times.
And they got a fucking history, and they could really fucking ham that.
And
up.
They could purchase like the footage off whoever they want to try to get.
Oh, Billy Corgan will take it in a fucking heartbeat.
Yeah.
Oh fuck yeah.
That fucking ship is sinking quicker than Nuff said.
Who Nuff names said these, the
who names these
baby?
Fucking pay-per-views?
Well, in fairness, they did name a pay-per-view Always Ready, and fucking
don't like, you dare! Don't you?
He didn't
dare.
Even wrestle on the damn show. It was like fucking. It was like In Your House, It's Time, which had no Vader.
With a Z, always with a Z.
To Nuff.
And apparently Cardona's said. Getting the rematch at that pay-per-view.
Nuff said.
Yeah, they signed the paperwork a couple weeks ago, right? Right?
I don't know. I don't watch NWA much anymore.
No, you're not into the championship series?
Oh, fuck no.
That's your gimmick, Tony.
Fucking Tim Storm, I almost said Tony Storm, still has the shot that Velvet Sky tearingly gave to him. So even Tim Storm's still hanging in the wings with the title shot. So
I was into that junior heavyweight championship. Belt for a while because Homicide had it.
Yeah, but you know what though? Homicide, like after a while, was like, all right, he's got to lose his shit. And you know what? I'm okay with him losing to Kerry Morton. Kerry Morton's got to get a little. I know I'm talking, but Kerry Morton's got to get a little bit better shape though. He's kind of like too skinny.
I thought he was going to lose to Luke's kid, PJ.
Shapes.
You yeah. I mean,
who's
I think Luke
was in shape.
I think Luke and PJ are eventually going to wind up with the tag belts.
I'm not mad at that.
No, not at all. Not at all. I'm surprised it didn't happen against La Rebellion. To be honest with you, at the last pay per view.
Yeah,
that was a mistake. I think they were fucking on fire. They should have won that shit.
Yep.
But whatever.
Enough said.
But if all this is smart, he'll come. He'll go up north.
All right. Now you've been watching NWA.
No.
Okay. I'm curious if anyone, God help me, who's listening to the show and has been watching the NWA, if Black G's has used the word doppelbangers on the show yet.
It's a great question. I will. What I end up doing is like binging it one night when I am off. I'll just end up watching like four episodes in a row.
You know what I started watching?
I know because I'm in the Discord, but you're going to tell
me. I started watching Women of Wrestling, Dave McLean's promotion, which is back on TV.
Where is that now? Where can I find that?
It's on New York 55.
Where can I find that? You just buried Main Events, and this creep is watching just women's wrestling.
Right? I will give you the synopsis in about 30 seconds. Have you ever seen the South Park episode where the kids were pretending they were doing WWE and they got Vince McMahon to come? What did they do? It was mostly storytelling and promos. They didn't wrestle.
Right.
That's like 90% of the show. Before a match, they tell a story. After a match, they tell a story. Fucking in the vignettes in the middle, they're telling stories.
So it's GLOW 2.0.
Yeah. The wrestling is better than GLOW, but not good.
Who is? Who are these featured talents?
Oh, you got the Disciplinarian. Beast. The Beast is the women's champion. They brought back a new chick to be Americana. Jesse James, who's like some country chick.
Who is the Beast?
She's this big black chick, dude. She's the WOW champion. I'm gonna Google her. And she was hurt, and she just made her comeback. And her and Dave.
That's
McClain,
a real beast.
They did the fucking shake from what the fuck? The Schwarzenegger movie.
You son of a bitch. Who are you? Dylan.
I'm telling you, though, mindless TV, I was okay with it. I was enjoying it. Is it good wrestling? Fucking not at all. Not at all. Yes. Wow.
Hello, Quaid.
I think it's, there she is, the Beast. I think it's W-O-W-E. W-O-W, easy for me to say, was around a long time ago, and they just brought it back.
Wasn't that the spot where Tessa Blanchard was training the chicks?
Yes. Dave
McLean's spot.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I'm trying to find. Oh, they got signings and giveaways.
Hello, Quaid.
And all kinds of shit.
Who are you?
Candy Crush. She, I think.
Isn't that like a cell
that's
phone?
A, that's
video
a video
game.
Game.
I know, but I forget what her background is. She's got some other sports background.
She's an app designer.
Hooper, WOW, and Women of Wrestling. Lindsay and Lori Carlson were basketball players. In college, oh my god, this is great. Candy Crush and Foxy Fierce.
That's a cool name, though. Foxy Fierce,
fuck yeah, dude. And they're called superheroes, by the way.
That's
they're not women's
wild.
Wrestlers, they're superheroes. Yeah, Americana, Adriana Gambino, guess what her nationality is? BK
Irish.
Rhythm, BK Rhythm, guess what she does? Coach Campanelli,
is she a gay basketball coach from high school?
Who the coach Campanella? She's pretty hot, dude. I'm not
most
even
of them are, but they were gay.
The Beast doesn't look like a beast.
You don't think so?
Yeah, she does.
She's probably a project chick from Stapleton.
See, they brought back a lot of old gimmicks. Like there's a trio called the Heavy Metal Sisters.
Every teen gimmicks, right?
Holidead's there.
Yeah.
So there you go. Jesse Jones, pretty big. Gen Z, Jennifer Flores, Ice Cold. Well, guess who she's supposed to be?
Who?
Fucking what's her name? Frosty Tips.
Lady Frost?
Yeah, there you go.
Frosty Tips.
Ice cold?
Fucking
cold. He says Frosty Tips.
Leia McCullough? Guess what country, guess what state she's from?
Is she
Idaho.
Is she feeling oozy?
Dude, Malia Hosaka is there. It's a fucking legend, bro.
Yeah, but she's that's Malia, a Joshi legend.
She's fucking 90, but
she looks
still.
Like she's fucking she's a weathered.
Joshi legend. She's 107.
Yeah, dude. She's
she looks like she was fucking.
She probably dated Mega Powers in the 90s.
Randy Rara's back.
Malia, what's her name? Hosaka? She looked like she was fucking. I dragged her all around New Jersey.
No, she's a legend, Christ. Dude. Fucking do some research. She's a legend.
I'm not questioning her legendary status. Hey,
the disciplinarian and her manager is Samantha Smart because she's.
Let me look at. Let me see this disciplinarian.
That's a bondage movie on Showtime.
We got the Tonga twins.
At 1:30 tonight.
It's a fucking giant roster. Did you mention Randy Rara?
Yeah. I don't know why Tormenta has two entries on this list.
Tormenta, what? Why. What's
the
name?
Serene, the voodoo doll. You watch this shit.
Well, I haven't seen Serene do her.
I think
shit
he's doing yet. Another shot of Fireball.
This, yeah, please. This is what.
This is going to drive me to drink.
This, so, hold on. You won't watch.
Yeah, I.
Listen.
I just want to say I was. I want to say I'm not going to follow it. Follow it. I just want to.
If I want to be insulted watching wrestling, I'm going to. Then they say like, "Hey, you should feel dumb for watching this." Okay, I can get behind that.
I'd rather be insulted watching that than watching a main event of fucking AEW.
The disciplinarian
watching Nyla Rose take on fucking Jay Cargill or whatever the fuck her name is.
I'm telling you, dude, the stories are hilarious and the wrestling is pretty awful.
It's, yeah, but that's it's funny.
Fucking worth.
Well,
watching.
Guess what? I think I'm gonna make February or March Women of Wrestling Month.
I'm not mad at that.
All right.
I want to do a segment.
So we're gonna do XPW next month. And we're gonna do fucking.
I'll book them all. I'll book all the guests.
Oh,
the disciplinarian. People like to say that kids today lack discipline.
You lack discipline.
But the disciplinarian knows the truth.
You lack discipline. Who are you?
Sent by the South Carolina Board of Education.
There you go.
The strict Southern teacher was hired by Samantha Smart to crack down on the unruly and uncooperative superheroes of WoW.
And I love that they're called superheroes. It's so great.
It's different. I'll give them that. And they all have like a backstory, I guess. What's, let's see. What's fucking Serene the Voodoo Doll? I bet you she's a fucking mom.
She's probably from fucking Louisiana, no?
Let's see. Doesn't, da-da-da-da-da-da.
She probably is.
Tap outs and tarot Thank cards.
You, there you go.
Alma sacrifice. And it appears that the WoW superheroes will be Serene's offering to the dark from which she emerges. Oh, a fucking get to know. Getting to know the voodoo you. Doll.
Getting to know you.
Holy shit. Reina Del Rey.
Right, toast to shitty wrestling, huh?
Sahara Spars.
What to shitty
Sahara
wrestling.
2022.
Keeping this podcast alive for over 11 years.
To Sahara Spars. There She's go. Reporting for duty.
What if she
duty.
She's in the United States Coast Guard.
Phil almost gagged. You all right, dude?
The Coast Guard?
Yeah.
The Water Police?
During her tour of duty, Commander Spars exemplified heroism. After noticing that no one in the handbook looked like her, specifically in regards to grooming standards, she shaved her vagina into a Hitler mustache.
Hey, yo. And then did a wood floor for the new year.
Yeah. Being of Afro-Latin descent, this initiative would deeply...
You gotta trim that bush if you're Afro-Latin descent.
...personal for Commander Spars.
Or put in cornrows.
You could plant fucking mofungos in there.
There is no... there's no meet Sahara Spars. She is inspired by her four-year-old daughter, who loves watching her mom kick butt on
Who doesn't
television.
Know who her daddy is? We know.
Jesus, Phil.
Sorry.
Why is
that's edited story, that's all.
Why is Tormenta here twice?
Because she's special.
Samantha Smart looks like a cunt.
She probably is.
Robbie Rocket. What is she a fucking astronaut?
Yeah,
what is
dude.
This?
Yeah, most of them are.
She's Ding in the dong. Space Force.
3, 2, 1, blast off. Robbie Rocket is careened onto the WoW world stage at full blast with no signs of slowing down. Oh my god. All right, and you watched this. What took place on the latest episode of WoW?
We had a match with Jesse James against the disciplinarian, and then Samantha Smart interfered, and a whole bunch of other people came out. So next week we're going to have a 6-woman match with, Jamie James and the two bitches that saved her against the disciplinarian, Samantha Smart, and some other teacher like woman character.
And the two bitches that saved her.
Yeah.
Oh, Jessie Jones.
That writes itself.
Yeah, that's it. Jessie Jones. She's a Southern girl.
That writes itself.
She grew up in the town of Bardstown, Kentucky, the bourbon capital of the world.
The vermin capital of the world?
The vermin.
We got to meet. Get to know Jessie Jones.
Getting to know you.
Dave McLean did mention that she's from the bourbon capital of the world. So there you go. I don't know, man.
You know who her hero was?
Who's that? Who's her hero? Oh, Jack Daniels.
Our very own Phil Reyes' favorite wrestler.
Dusty Rhodes.
Dusty Rhodes.
Of course.
You like this hat?
You better like this hat.
You like this bush? You better trim this bush.
Jesus, she's got to wear the fucking jeans with all the holes in them, then she covers them with fucking bandanas. Get out of here, Jessie Jones.
She's from Kentucky, bro.
Your dumb face.
The bourbon capital of the world.
Her name Coos?
The German capital of the world.
Chaos. K-A-O-Z.
Chaos.
Did he die of AIDS?
Wow.
Oh, fucking boo.
No, we had a friend of ours.
Oh, Chaos. Oh, she's
true story.
She's one of the Tonga twins.
Of course she is.
She Oosie? She doesn't have a video.
She likes when you use her Tonga
she's
on you.
She's a Oosie Poosie.
So Oosie.
Hey, yo.
Hey, yo.
Hey, yo.
Oosie Poosie.
Holy shit.
Oh, my God.
Hey, yo. Hey, yo.
All right. Do you want me to do? Do we want to plug our Patreons?
Yeah, we have to. That's part of the gimmick, bro.
Let me get the sheet.
Everything gimmicks.
Everything. Yeah, I don't know, man. MLW. I saw MLW is good about putting out little blurbs on YouTube, and the most recent one, I don't know who the fuck the other guy was, but some dude in a mask eventually came up. But it was Jacob Fatu, this other dude, and Microman at a bar. And Jacob Fatu and Microman were like, just kept toasting each other. And he's like, bro, you a good fucking wrestler. I ain't even lying. Yo, man, you talented as shit and all this other shit. And we might get Jacob Fatu and Microman as a tag team at some point in fucking MLW.
What, isn't he fighting Enzo?
I thought Jacob Fatu wasn't there anymore.
No, he's there.
He's there.
Well, who knows when these were taped, but he's there.
Is Hammerstone still the champion?
Yes. And he's fighting with EJ and Duca right now, who's one half of the tag champs.
Who's going to get that belt at some point?
Who, yeah. And Duca?
The judge?
I don't know, man.
I think he is. I think he
wasn't
will.
He in Contra? That
no.
guy?
No.
No, right?
No.
No, Fatu was.
Fatu was,
Fatu
yeah.
was, yes.
Yeah.
It was, Contra unit was Fatu.
It was Fatu. It was Akira Kwan.
And your
it
buddy.
Was the Sheik. What the fuck is his name?
Joseph Samael.
Joseph Samael,
and fucking
yeah.
Flabby Tits, the fucking guy that used to be in NXT. The fuck's his name? The dude with the mustache. Flabby he was in the fucking...
Oh, Simon Gotch.
There
Simon
you go.
Gotch,
thank you.
Yeah.
Flabby Tits.
He was Flabby Tits.
Who was your boy, though, that we always made fun of?
Richard Holiday?
No, I love Richard Holiday.
I love me, too.
Danny...
Not the fucking...
The guy that wore the gi.
Yeah, the fucking... Oh, shit. I was just thinking of Violence
Holiday's
is Forever.
Still recovering from the cancer?
Who's, yes.
Who's
yes.
Violence yes. is
Dominic
Forever?
Dominic Greeny.
Dominic Greeny. The guy looked yeah. like the brain. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And who was his partner? Kevin Koo.
Yes.
Yes. Those guys are still around. I saw a picture of them recently with tag belts. They're champions somewhere.
Indies, baby.
Definitely
Indies
not,
are strong, baby.
Definitely not MLW.
It's true.
You know what else is strong?
What is strong?
Patreon.
The Patreon is strong.
I
and if
even...
you, yeah, you over there,
that's right.
You want to be part of our Patreon for as little as $1 a month. You can support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. $3 a month, you get the bonus content. $5 a month, we'll shout out your social media, your website, whatever you're promoting, as long as it falls within line. It's not like some weird
OnlyFans page.
Yeah. That we have to pay for. If you're giving us it for free, maybe we'll check it out. $10 a month, you get all the perks below, and we pick a monthly winner to be a part of the show. You get to pick the Wizards Rewind. You get to sit in on an interview. You get to play Can You Beat That? I'm looking to slay whomever, right? And I found out some stuff about the committee they never reached out to. The champion, he had to find out through a text from
JJ. Not the champion anymore.
Former champion. And then he said, This is how nice of a guy Christian Rock was. He said he respects the committee's decision.
Because said, some people respect the committee.
I said, motherfucker, they didn't even give you a chance. They didn't even reach out to you. You had to find out post-show through a tweet from somebody who's not even part of the Shining Wizards that you were stripped of your title.
See, that's not fair because I asked Matt, I said, what's the status on Christian? He's like, bro can't fucking show up Monday night, so he's out. All right, fair enough. Committee took you at your word.
Well, the committee should have made this decision in November at the 11th anniversary show when he didn't show up instead of waiting a month.
Well, in fairness, the committee was not part of the booking for the 11th anniversary show. That was outside people, and we sort of ran a little long. So the committee bided their time and said, well, let's wait till December. Did we play in November? No. So there you go. The committee fucking rules. Don't listen to this hand job. Read your plugs.
First of all, don't touch me. I like Facebook in the middle of the show. This is what goes on when we're not in studio. He's got it. The guy who fucking goes on Facebook gets in these wrestling chats and gets annoyed about everything. Can't just put his phone down and enjoy his time with his friends on our holiday show. No.
You're the one that thought I had fucking headphones on listening to something else, not even paying attention to what I'm doing.
Well, that's my own fault.
Yeah, it is.
And you were still looking at something else.
Well, you're reading the plugs. I was, what do you want me to do? Jump in? I had to defend the committee, but otherwise I'm letting you do your job. So,
oh, now this is my job?
Yeah, this is your fucking job. This is your gimmick. You do the plugs every week.
I don't get paid for this.
I don't get paid either. I had to set up this gimmick to make sure everybody could see our faces. Come on, bro. Everybody
I'm very famished. I haven't had any pizza yet.
You want pizza? Want me to get you pizza?
Get him pizza.
I'm going to get him pizza.
You it's right there. It's right in front of the camera.
You want plain pizza?
Yeah, don't give me this fucking garbage.
I bought garbage pizza because I figured everybody likes garbage.
You didn't?
What?
Thanks, Tony.
We appreciate you too.
Appreciate.
I almost killed Phil. I didn't know he was allergic to fucking mushrooms.
Yeah, because you thought everybody likes garbage. Because we're all fucking fat slobs. Doesn't mean we eat garbage.
This is true.
Well, you're the fucking outlier, Kevin. I'm sorry.
You unfortunately get sucked into our vortex.
I love your vortex.
Yeah, you're fat associated.
Yes. I am mildly fat.
Kevin's tried to leave. The fucking pole just keeps taking him back in.
I'm in, yeah.
All right, we're having fun here. We're busting balls on this Christmas extravaganza. If you're enjoying
this, I'm looking at my phone.
Yeah, Tony's on fucking Facebook buying fucking socks.
Marital aids that somebody printed on their fucking 3D printer.
He's buying fucking socks for his wife with his face
with
on it.
With balls. I'm buying her socks that have L's and R's on the bottom.
Yeah, the older we get, the more important
my socks don't have fucking R's on them, dickhead. They have an L on them for Lars.
You know why? Those are two L's. He's got the two R's in his drawer.
No, dickhead. This is the only pair of these. You're a motherfucker. It's the only pair of these
ring
socks
that
I
bell.
Have. Don't ring
that
the bell.
Bell.
You fuck.
I can't believe I didn't think of that an hour and a half ago.
Have some more shots. You'll be all right. You'll think of it now.
All right. We're going to thank those that support us on our Patreon. If you like this, go to patreon.com/wizardspodcast. Kathy Hummer, Queen of the Shining Wizards. Minnie Kratzo, King of the Shining Wizards. Danny Rusinello at not Danny Russ, Anthony Rusinello, Sean Toe, Sean Calejo, Kate the Great Hensler at Miss Kate Fabe, doing her thing every Wednesday night with the Mark Order, every Friday night with Fightful for the SmackDown Rampage post show at Miss Kate Fabe. Don't. What are you doing?
I'm looking at you.
I look like a fucking chud. It's a terrible picture. Fucking asshole.
Chud.
Christine Friesendorf. Mark Parloni.
Happy birthday, dude.
Hope you have a great holiday, Mark. I know you've been going through some stuff. Thomas Copps, the Mott Spock at High Five Tom. He does the Marking Out ROH Revelry podcast. Our very own Phil was just on the Final Battle 2012 episode. So check that out. Michael Hammond, Matthew Birch. Matthew Birch, no sign of Birchman tonight. He's usually fucking killing it in the chat.
He's shopping for socks.
Braden Bergen at Enfuego 30, our number one fan from Iowa. Brendan Haney at Irish Misfit. He's also responsible for the show notes. Appreciate you, Brendan. Ryan Schlong at Mark Order Pod. Unblocked from the
Schlong?
YouTube. Ryan Schlong.
Ryan Schlong. Schlong o Magongo.
Like a ding dong.
Schlong like in junk Schlong?
Yeah.
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 My man.
I'm packing.
Carry on.
He's swinging that thing. Asian Joe. Mike Peterson at LOL Mike Peterson. Congratulations for beating me in the Shining Wizards Fantasy Football Championship.
Ooh.
The Daily Smark at The Daily Smark on Twitter, thedailysmark.com. They help you find the latest wrestling news along with up-to-the-minute daily podcasts. Don't forget, we deliver YouTube videos to keep you in the loop. My man Kieran, my British friend.
Hello.
Hello. Kevin Rogue. Hello. At Year of Pod, at JJ Rogue Means, at TOTS Pod. And last but certainly not least, you can find him on the Twitter machine at W Mercier Jr.
Big Willie Styles.
Mr. William Mercier Jr.
My dude right there. Broke bread with him recently.
Okay.
At the Jumping Bomb Angels sushi spot.
Anything else you want to say, Phil?
Nope. Nope.
Grab his dick and twist it.
More. Hey, what does Moose have to say about William Mercer?
Oh, fuck. All right, wait, you want Moose? Hold on.
Hey, this is Moose. Hey. Shining the wizard.
Oh, no. The one!
Hey Phil, how do you feel about like stepping over like the only gimmick that we have on the show?
Wait, the only gimmick we have? It's your gimmick.
That's right. All right, so I guess
you want to give him the lead in again? You can find him on Twitter at W Mercier Jr. The one, the only William Mercier. Junior.
Hey, this is lives are going to be in William Mercier's hands. You know what I mean? Hey.
Kevin, I know what you mean.
Okay.
I'm home. Yeah, motherfucker, yeah.
We are.
Merry Christmas.
Holy shit. We are rocking and rolling here. Shining Wizards, episode 617, Christmas extravaganza. Phil Raya is in studio with us from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. You can find him on the Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
At T-Buckle T-Backs, right? Is that what it is?
It's your freaking show, bro.
And yes. Instagram. Yep.
And you guys recently did what? Battle Bowl 72?
We did Starrcade 92.
Woo! You and who? Does that fucking goblin still do the show with you with his fucking nasty, gross fucking feet?
He's,
did you get him a pedicure for fucking Christmas?
I don't know what they
is
do
it with. Just you now?
Yeah, it's just me. My son joined me on Friday. So, Hammer sat in with us.
Nice.
Yep.
It was a great show, man. You had a lot of people come out for the show.
Yeah, he had fun. He was a good kid.
He had a fun?
He had a
good time. He had a fun time.
Hey!
Hey,
I need to stop.
He did the fucking thing.
Kill myself.
Well, you can find. Listen, look. If you want, if you're like, I don't want to listen to this fucking current wrestling bullshit. Go to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Phil does a great job. Catalog's there. Jay, Choppy, they did a great job. And Phil's always pumping out new content, so you should check it out. You'll enjoy it.
Thank you.
Phil has a very interesting take on the wrestling industry.
Yeah, and Phil knows what he's talking about. It's not like he's just some jabron. He knows what he's doing.
I appreciate that.
Yep.
I try.
That's right. We try to. And so do you. We're all trying. So, Matt.
Yeah.
Matt, what do we...
What do you think it's time for?
Yeah, Jesus.
I'm just looking. I don't... Tony has... You can see it on the camera here. Right? This beautiful array of DVDs. He's got... Looks like some very mint.
Yes.
WWF Coliseum home videos. Great DVD collection.
Yes.
But what sticks out is Divas Undressed.
Oh, I think that was a gift from one of you guys for Christmas.
That's got to be a Matt gift.
I think it's a Matt gift. That.
Is it?
And I got my 100%. WXW women's wrestling there too.
Yeah, you have a lot of like.
I think I've got the Burke County wrestling documentary. Remember the dude that went under the ring who was trying to blade himself for 20 minutes, little Donnie? That's on there somewhere.
Was that Satan's Sister's Slaughterhouse?
Yep. That's the infamous match with Amy Lee and fucking what the hell's her name? Vashon against the Diva Killers.
Oh, that's right.
That's that DVD.
All right.
I got an eclectic collection.
Yeah, you really do. It's a weird, you're like a Ring of Honor shoot video.
There you go. There's Ring of Honor for you. Shoot that.
After three tries, he finally got one on the mic.
Yeah, he's going to stick his fucking face in it.
He just did.
Eat it like a fucking black ice cream cone.
Hey,
what?
Yo.
What's up? You know what?
It's black. It's so. Do you not see this color?
I see it. I just don't know what a black ice cream cone is.
Well, black ice cream a flavor in Jersey? I'll take a black cone, please.
Yes.
Oh, look at here.
It usually tastes like sewage.
Can you put some on a waffle cone for me, please? Dude. Look at here.
Are we ready to rewind?
The logo's up, so I guess we are.
All right. So we are going to do a
We watched
A Wizards Rewind back to 1997, Monday Night Raw, December 22nd, Lowell, Massachusetts.
Lowell.
My wife.
Oh, what are you on your phone?
It's a good thing we're here in studio because apparently I have no internet.
What do you, what?
The internet's been out all day at my house.
Oh, for real?
It's a, that's why my wife just texted me.
Oh,
it's
shit.
Like the western part of the state. Lowell.
So I said my wife.
My wife.
And without even knowing that, that was your wife, the tech.
Jinkwee.
So we went back to Lowell.
Did we ever?
For this Raw 1997, the landscape of the WWE is mid-changing. We are fresh off of Survivor Series and the D-Generation X pay-per-view.
Fresh.
No Bret Hart. He's out. We're starting to see the rise of Stone Cold. We're starting to see DX really come into their own.
And The Rock.
And The Rock.
And Kane.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's got to be
very
Kane.
New character. Yep.
It was...
And the Headbangers.
It was interesting. It was
Godwins are still in the tag.
The Evil Godwins.
Once it was again. It was an interesting watch, to say the least.
D'Lo Brown.
That's all right. That was the new nation. Matt was trying to lead us into this that we totally.
No, no, you're good. You're it. Good. Now Matt likes when we go off track when we're talking about the shit. This
I do. Good.
Holy fuck.
This was a weird show.
Well, Triple H is with Shawn Michaels in China. They are DX. Triple H is still being called Hunter Hearst Helmsley, even though he's referred to as Triple H.
Right.
Shawn Michaels is double champion here. He's the European, having won that from the British Bulldog at One Night Only.
Yes.
And the WWF champion, having won that at the Montreal Screwjob at the Survivor Series a couple months before this.
Yep. And going into Royal Rumble against The Undertaker in a casket match in 1998, which we would see Shawn Michaels' last match in a number of years.
The Rock is the Intercontinental Champion, who's still sort of feuding, maybe not feuding with Stone Cold at this point.
Yes.
Because we do get
Shamrock.
We get a vignette with Stone Cold, but that comes a little later in the show. Ken Shamrock's hanging around that scene. Owen Hart's hanging around DX. We've got the LOD opening the show, actually. You don't think about the LOD being there in 97, but here they were. You know, a lot of crazy, weird shit for this show.
You don't want to think about the LOD in 97 because they just weren't the same LOD. And then they got, but it catapulted the hell out of the New Age Outlaws.
Yeah.
What they did in the highlight package actually was the Raw from the week before, where them and Shawn Michaels and Triple H absolutely destroyed the LOD, which was pretty good, which was actually really fun. It elevated two young guys that were floundering for so freaking long. So it was a great open. I'll say that. How about that? Great open to the show.
Yeah, it's the LOD in WWE in 1997 is definitely forgettable.
Yeah.
I think mostly for the stuff with him falling off the Titantron, right?
We're not there yet though.
I know, but that is really what you associate, you know. When you think 1997 WWF tag teams, I think LOD is far down the list.
Yeah, and even if you go back to SummerSlam, Phil, like if you go back to SummerSlam, like they faced they weren't even like in the tag team title match.
No,
so like they just fought the Godwins, which was again nothing against the Godwins. Henry Godwin's a great guy.
No, it was just stagnant until everybody till the main guys broke into the. Into the stratosphere.
When did LOD 2000 happen with Sonny?
1998.
So that was the next
WrestleMania.
Well, that was that was like only a couple months removed from this. Like,
well, all right, so we're going December to April or December to March.
Yeah, so
that's enough time in wrestling to let people
like a repackage. Yeah.
I think.
Oh boy. Well, in fairness, what you did bring up, not only did they destroy Legion of Doom, they shaved Hawk's mohawk.
Yep, and which he came back with. Actual hair. He didn't come back with the mohawk. He came back with
Well, because he was drinking. He forgot how to cut his hair.
Okay. And then he also came back with the original Hawk, like full, like normally he would just have the one over the eye and one over the eye. And he came back with the full, like, original Hawk, like, face paint. Whereas Animal came back again with this more similar with the same with the spider.
Yeah, I know we're jumping ahead, but I hated the gimmick, but I loved those the helmets they had.
Oh, they were great. Those the bone crunchers that they like the action figures, bro. With them,
they came with those. I didn't know.
Oh yeah.
No, those are modified.
I love the LOD 2000
catcher's masks that were invented by a pitcher by the name of Charlie O'Brien. He played for the Mets and the Blue Jays, and when he played up in Toronto, he got the idea to make the masks more. Yep. Like they took him, he took the concept from the goalies.
Yeah, well, because the goalies go nuts with their helmets.
Yes, absolutely. So,
yeah, I love the LOD 2000.
Yeah,
but we're jumping ahead.
I'm sorry, you just mentioned.
No, it's my fault. That's my
nothing to be sorry about. It's all relative and it ties into the show. Ross hosted by Jim Ross, Michael Cole, and Kevin Kelly.
This combination was fucking drizzling shits variety, dude. This was bad.
This was new Kevin Kelly, right? Him and Mitchell were new, right? Still, at this
point? this is fucking terrible commentary.
It was rough.
It was tough to tell who had what motive in what they were saying. If you know what I'm saying, like
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Like it's like who is one of them going to be a bad? That's three. You have three good guys.
It almost seemed like they were filling in spots of the story that didn't need to be filled in. It's like, let it breathe, dude. Yeah. They're telling the story. You don't need to fucking jump in. Sergeant Slaughter, perfect example, says, "You haven't defended the European title in 30 days. 60. Right away, one of them goes, "Oh, I think it's been a lot longer than that." 2 seconds later, "Matter of fact, it's been longer than 60 days. And they're like, "Oh, well, there you go." Yeah, if you would have shut up the first time, you wouldn't have to jump in the second time to show us what a fucking dickhead you are. It's like, relax. Let the fucking Sarge work. Sarge got no respect during this time period as it is, and commentary did him no favors doing shit like this. That fucking bugged me. That bugged me for some reason. Really bad.
Commentary was rushed.
It was awful.
It was rushed, and they, like Kevin said, you couldn't get a feel what every guy was doing. It just felt rushed. That's all. I think they were overwhelmed by the what was going on, but they were just trying different shit. And I guarantee you, in their earpieces, they were like, "Oh, say this, don't say that." Yeah.
And then we stay here like 20 years later, or 30. Or I don't know how many years later.
Almost 30. Yeah.
30 years later, and Michael Cole and Kevin Kelly are two of the greatest. And Jim Ross.
Oh, Ross,
but like, yeah. Jim Ross, I think has fallen off. God bless him.
But it just goes to show where the industry went at that point. Yeah. You know,
those two are the best. Kevin Kelly and Michael.
Kevin Kelly's fantastic. We had
best commentators
today.
In the world.
Yeah.
So it was very bizarre. And I don't want to get hung up on the commentary because this show has a lot of content that needs to be discussed.
It's just something that we wouldn't notice younger lads. Yeah. Now we're noticing it now because what we're doing and how we see it differently now, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
Do you guys think the DX stuff holds up after this opening promo?
I'll let Tony or Phil answer that first.
This stuff wasn't so over the top, at least in my eyes, as stuff that would come later on in the next year or two, because it was kind of like just an isolated thing that one group was doing and that was their shtick, as opposed to like a year or two from now where everybody seemed to have like these outrageous over the top fucking really pushing the envelope gimmicks that they were doing. In this space, I was okay with just DX doing what DX was known to do.
If Michaels wasn't world champion, they don't get that much TV time at that time.
No,
I feel like his position in the company, not taking nothing away from Triple H or China, gave them more of a presence because of what was going on.
But you're okay in hindsight looking back at this.
Yeah.
This segment, 100% okay with. The initial robes and that stuff. And the announcers did put it over well. So I'm 100% okay with what they did today, Matt.
No, I enjoyed it, and I think I kind of equate it to like the Opie and Anthony show, right?
Right.
Before they went to Sirius XM, they had to find a way to be clever about saying certain things. Like Triple H gets in like, oh, and I know you're the baby of the Hart family. I have a pacifier you can suck on. Like,
yeah.
That was wild.
Like, but there, it's like
the presence on the ass, you know. Like,
yeah, it's like gear.
The mistletoe, putting the mistletoe.
Yeah, like, it's creative, and it's like, you know, like Tony said, fast forward a year, and it's like we're just fucking crotch chopping and asking chicks to take out their tits, and it's like out of control.
Then you have Val Venus and Godfather.
Yeah, like, but this is like clever, and it's lots of Christmas dick puns, and like.
Yeah, like once Austin McMahon started moving forward, it feels like that was more of like the Russo era. Not only did everybody have to have a story, but everybody had to have like a Howard Stern kind of story. His influence on Vince Russo, you could definitely tell as time went on. But this, as one moment of the show overall, absolutely 100% okay with it.
Yeah, I didn't hate it.
And we find out in this opening promo that Commissioner Slaughter is going to make Shawn Michaels defend his European title against Triple H, and they both kind of have a little tiff back and forth.
I do like this though, because this played out throughout the entire show. So like if you're watching it like for the first time and you see Hunter like, you know what, he's always running his mouth, I'm gonna shut his mouth for him. It's like, okay, maybe these guys are gonna take this competition a little seriously, you know?
And Tony, we're talking about 1997 where like we don't necessarily like have the trained eyes that we might have now.
Yeah.
So like watching it back, like I'm like, oh, this is so freaking obvious. Like it's so like, you know, it's coming, but
yeah, but
you also saw it at the time too.
Yeah. And it was clever too. And then like every single time China would whisper something to one of them and then they would reference her shirts. And so it was like, holy shit, they're actually just pushing her merch while they're getting ready to fucking.
Yeah. All three of them had her shirts on.
All three of them had shirts on
throughout the show. So like, it was cool, but like, it's just, it's like watching anything that you thought was really awesome when you were younger. That's like, all right, this is blatantly obvious now. But at the, like, watching it back, and if you can have those eyes, Matt, it is just like, it was pretty good.
No, look, there's a lot of things. I don't want to jump all over and ahead, but there's a lot of things that, trust me, there's a lot of stuff on this show when you're like, what the fuck?
Yep.
Right?
We'll
there's a lot of things where you're like,
we'll get there.
We're telling. Like, for instance, like, we have this Triple H Shawn Michaels promo where we're talking about Owen Hart. We're talking about The Undertaker. Later, we're going to see The Undertaker and Kane, but we still have Shawn Michaels at the Royal Rumble. Like, there's a lot of stories that are going on at once, and they're not muddying the waters.
Right.
Like, if we're going to get to the Kane and Undertaker stuff, but that's just focused on Kane and Undertaker.
Yep.
There's no reason to shoehorn Shawn in there. We already know where Shawn's going to be at the Rumble. So, I think stuff like that... they should be commended for, because it was really done well. The next match, Headbanger Thrasher against Henry O. Godwin.
Yeah.
Doesn't even really get started.
This was dog shit.
This was all to set up, what, they have a strap match?
Yeah.
They must have, because they did do the King of the Country whipping match, I think is what they called it. The country whipping match. Is that what it is?
Yeah,
sounds about right.
So no matter what it is, it's terrible to say, no matter what it is.
So the Godwins at some point actually went heel again.
Oh, yeah.
This
was after SummerSlam 97 when they fought the LOD in Jersey.
Now, didn't what's his name break his neck on that show, too?
I was at SummerSlam 97.
So was I.
Yeah, well, I think we're all there, yeah. When did Henry Godwin break his neck with the Legion of Doom?
Prior to this.
Okay, so he was already hurt at this point.
So he was hurt, and they came back. So the New Age Outlaws are now a thing, and the New Age Outlaws were quite... Like, no one really knew what the New Age Outlaws were. So the New Age Outlaws also had an issue with the Godwins. So, like, the Godwins were bad guys, but we didn't know what the New Age Outlaws quite were yet. So the Godwins made a point in their promo with Michael Cole to say, like, New Age Outlaws, we haven't forgotten about you. So maybe, I don't know if this was a point that maybe they were going to turn them back babyface, because this is post Uncle Cletus. This is post SummerSlam at LOD. LOD's gone out of the picture because DX and New Age Outlaws beat the shit out of them. So I didn't know what this really was. And the match was with Henry against Thrasher. And then you had Mosh and Phineas get into the mix. Yeah,
what did this go? Like, not even 2 minutes?
No, not even.
No, minute and 13 even. Seconds. Yeah. Godwin breaks his neck in 98.
Oh, so it was after this.
So they might have been the Southern Justice team at this point then. If that, not at this point, but then. So
they were probably Southern. No, they were.
They were still the Godwins.
And they were still the Godwins.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then later in 98, they were Southern Justice,
which I thought was a completely criminally underrated team.
Well, they were stuck with Jeff Jarrett, weren't they?
God, such a good.
That whole NWA thing, though, right?
No, Jeff Jarrett had been had passed NWA. Owen Hart, I think, was. I don't think this. I think this is also post Owen Hart team.
Because this is Tennessee Lee too.
Well.
Oh wait. So then, if my memory's off, I'm off.
So March of 98, he resurfaces Tennessee Lee.
I heard those Welsh boys got some fucking hammers on them.
But I'm telling.
Hey yo.
That's what I heard.
I don't think Tennessee Lee was with Jeff Jarrett when he was with Southern Justice.
According to Henry O. Godwin.
Godwin.
He was the bodyguards of Tennessee Lee and Jeff Jarrett.
All right. There you go.
But he was gone. Tennessee Lee was gone August of 98.
There you go.
Yeah, he wasn't around too long.
No, that Southern Justice team was such an underrated
gimmick. He was in MLW for like 5 weeks, canoodling around with that chick.
Blake, right? Ariel Blake.
Blake, yes.
Was that her name?
I like that canoodle is still in our lexicon.
Of course it
just
is.
Just putting that out there.
Oh, and your girl Billy Starks is going to be wrestling for MLW too.
Oh, why is she my girl?
Billy Starks is around still?
Billy Starks is definitely around.
Yeah, she's
Billy Starks is like 18. I don't know who you're thinking of.
Yeah, you might think.
No, she was like a thing for like 5 minutes and then I haven't seen her.
No,
she was in GCW. She went to Japan. She was just in Japan.
I didn't see her. I saw her in GCW.
For Stardom?
Yes. Yeah, good for her.
Yeah, Magenta.
Hi, Phil.
Magenta. That's right. Magenta was there for that, right?
Yep.
Fucking Magenta. So post this, whatever match this is, we get a video package highlighting Dude Love and the abuse he takes at the hands of the Outlaws. And then we get a little promo from Mick. He's
back.
He's back to being Mankind. He just wants the New Age Outlaws to know that there are some tendencies that Dude Love has that are specific to Mankind and vice versa. So they should be on the lookout.
This is fun. It was corny, but it was fun.
And this is pre-Chainsaw Charlie coming in, right?
Yes.
100%. Yeah.
Yes. And then they show that video clip of what happened when the show went off last year with Stone Cold, the little Uso kid, and Santa Claus.
Very Usy.
Long story. I think you know what happens. The Santa Claus has some very disparaging words for Stone Cold.
Well, because Santa Claus thought Sable was going to come out and visit him, and then he got the word that Sable wasn't coming out to visit him. Right. So he blew off one of the Uso kids, and it's legit one of the Usos. It was Jay or Jimmy. It was one of them, right?
According to Bruce Pritchard on the Something to Wrestle With podcast, it was one of the Uso twins.
So Kevin and I, incorrectly so, but if you see the video, you'd understand why. We thought it was a little girl, but it turned out it was actually a little boy. It turns out it was either Jimmy or Jay. So there you go.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, if she's not coming, what do you want for Christmas, little boy? He goes, you're not the real Santa. And Santa's like, fuck you, Oos, and kicked him in the face. And then Stone Cold said, you kicked this kid? What? That's the tribal chief's kid. What?
That's right.
And he kicked Santa in the scrotum.
Tell you what, the Usos are the fucking greatest tag team in the history of the world. I'm saying it.
They might very well be. I think when it comes down to it, you look at the history of tag teams, you definitely make an argument that they're at least top five.
Especially after this performance by one of them.
Well, of course.
Yes. Fucking, this is huge.
You open up Austin kicking sand in the balls.
So
how long? This took like fucking 15 minutes on the show, though. So for a 2-hour Raw, they're wasting an awful lot of time with shit like this.
On DX and Santa.
Well, here's the thing, too. Like, throughout the entire episode, we're getting fucking recaps of Sergeant Slaughter being in the ring.
I thought this was a recap.
What do you mean?
The Austin.
It was.
It was.
They didn't show it. Okay. It wasn't. They didn't show it last week. Yeah. But yeah, it is weird to see. Like, I think because if.
Like, what was the point of it? That was kind of the thing.
It's
like,
Christmas.
Oh, Christmas. Yeah, but Stone Cold stunned WWE. Santa Claus. It's like.
Yeah, because I don't think he's cleared yet. I still think he's reeling from the neck injury.
It's probably. We're only 2 months out. No,
right? Because he wins the 98 Rumble.
Because that was back in August. September, he's 4 months out.
I don't think he wrestled much.
Maybe he didn't wrestle at all yet.
Let me look. I'm going to look.
No, he probably
didn't. You know what? Tony, no, you know what?
We're good.
Owen Hart won the Intercontinental title back, and then he lost it back to Austin pretty much immediately. And then it wound up on The Rock somehow, I think, when Austin fucking did his gimmick later on in the show.
No, well, because Austin threw, like, The Rock's belt into the... That doesn't necessarily... No,
he gave it up. I think he gave it up.
And then you had Rock, you had Owen Hart and Farouk in the finals of the tournament.
And Owen Hart won.
Or did you have Rock in the... No, you had Owen Hart and Farouk in the finals of the tournament. Owen Hart won.
And then Austin...
Lost to Triple H.
No.
No.
Survivor Series 97, Austin beat Owen Hart.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And then Austin just gave up the belt. He threw it in the river. Because he said, you want this
no,
belt?
No, but so- The Rock beat somebody. Rock had won the belt from someone because Austin threw it in the belt to spite Rock.
Austin beats The Rock at In Your House Degeneration X at the beginning of December.
But Rock is, on this show that we're watching right now, The Rock is the Intercontinental Champion.
Yes. The undisputed Intercontinental that's Champion, right. As he said. Let me see.
But who did he beat for the title?
That's a great question.
All right, so here we go. So Stone Cold won it at SummerSlam. It was vacated. Owen Hart won the tournament over Farouk. A month later, Stone Cold wins at Survivor Series. The Rock beat... No. Stone Cold on the December 8th Raw handed the championship to The Rock, so he never beat him for it. He just gave him the belt.
One of those.
Because he said, I got bigger fish to fry. I'm going after the world title.
He's going after Shawn.
That was when he announced that he was going for the Royal Rumble. Yeah, gotcha. there was some sort of gimmickry, and I think that was when he threw the belt in the... Because he didn't throw the belt in this episode.
No,
that was another recap. I think it was 2 weeks prior.
Yeah, or 2 weeks, or whatever it was. It was definitely prior.
So there were a lot of fucking recaps on this show. Like, you could have been out of wrestling for a month and a half, and this show would catch you up.
Well, we are talking about a Christmas week episode.
All right, fair enough. That's a good point.
Like,
that's a good point.
Yeah.
Everybody's on vacation.
Yeah.
We get the DX locker room stuff that we're talking about. Sean and China talking, whispering in his ear, whatever, all that jazz. We get Rocky Maivia with the Nation of Domination taking on The Undertaker.
One-on-one.
Undertaker and The Rock in the middle of a fucking Monday Night Raw.
That's what I was saying. Like, they could have booked that would have been a main event, you know, anywhere else.
Yeah, well, the main event's got to be Triple H and Shawn.
Would 1997 Rocky Maivia be main event caliber, though?
100% not.
No, probably not yet.
Not,
you're right.
Not for Rock's purposes as well.
If you were booking AEW, yes.
Yeah.
But The Undertaker definitely was main event.
Yeah, Taker headlined a lot of Monday Night Raws.
But then it becomes a question, do you close Raw with Kane getting over on The Undertaker, or do you close Raw with DX getting one over on Sergeant Slaughter?
Well, that was my point. If Michaels didn't have the title, it'd be totally Kane and Taker as the main storyline.
Yeah, and then you have Kane destroying Undertaker with the Undertaker hesitation that he does. Like, he wants to hit him, but he decides not to.
Yeah, Shawn Michaels is the X factor here. Him not world champion, they ain't get that much TV time like that. Not tonight, anyway. Not on this episode, I should say.
And not in Lowell.
This is also, just remember this, this is Raw's 2 hours, and it's presented as two separate shows, right?
Always.
Right? So this is the main event of hour one.
So good.
All right, that's true. All right, Matt makes an excellent point. So here's a question I got to ask you. The first part of Raw opens with Thorn in Your Eye, but then the War Zone opens with All Together Now, which just does not seem like a War Zone entrance. Was this a thing for a while that I just forgot about?
I don't care. Anthrax did the song, so I care.
It was that fucking weird group on the wrestling fucking whatever album it was. It was like the World Wrestling All-Stars or Ram Jam All-Stars or some shit.
It's the same band that does both.
Yeah, no, it is. It is.
Did Ram Jam do Black Betty?
Yeah, well, that's...
Ram-a-Lam.
No, it was like the Jam Band or the All-Star Jam or...
The Gap Band.
Fuck, what the hell was the name of that album? Band. Was that the wrestling album 5?
I think it was just called the WrestleMania album.
WrestleMania album?
I don't know, because that's the one that had all the other idiots singing their own gimmicks. Like Jim Duggan singing USA. And
yeah,
that was the Macho Man. And
no, this is the one.
No, it is.
No, no, but no, it's not, because this one has like, it has the 1-2-3 Kid on it. It's got Psycho Sid on it.
Yes.
Yes, what?
It's the same one.
No, that's not the WrestleMania album.
The wrestling album is the first one with Shawn Michaels and Goldust. But there's also one with the WrestleMania album that has Hacksaw,
playing Brett, guitar with a softball bat,
Nasty Boys,
Hacksaw Jim Duggan beats people up.
Yeah, but that's not the same one that has the theme to Raw.
Which Raw are you talking about? Oh, the Attitude Raw? No, no chance. If you're talking about like WrestleMania theme song, Linda McMahon's theme song, then yes, that's yeah, that's the album with Hacksaw and Taker and Brett and Savage.
No, oh, this
the Full Metal album was WWE Full Metal was 1995-96, which had Shawn Michaels, Razor Ramon, Mankind, Goldust. And it was still called Full Metal, which is weird because none of those are Full Metal.
Nope.
I don't know. We can move on.
Yeah, let's move on.
Ah, WWE Full Metal, the album. That's the one we were talking about, right?
That's the one Kev just said.
Yep. I just mentioned. So that opens with "We're all together now, thorn in your eye," and then it goes, it has Diesel, King Mabel, 123 Kid, Goldust, The Smoking Gun, Psycho Sid, Razor Ramon, Shawn Michaels singing "Sexy Boy," Undertaker early, Hakushi, Bret Hart, and then "With My Baby Tonight" from Jeff Jarrett.
I still have it. I don't have the case, but I have the CD. Still have it in like one of those, right. One of those like fucking remember those like black CD holder cases?
Yeah, of course.
With the I have it. It's all right. In that.
Here's something that I learned today.
Your baby tonight?
The iTunes version of this album, Full Metal, has two bonus tracks.
Oh.
Does anybody want to guess which two wrestlers have bonus tracks? You will never get them in a bazillion years.
Barry Horowitz.
What year is this?
The album of Full Metal came out in 1995.
95.
I'm saying Barry Horowitz.
Tatanka?
You guys aren't even in the fucking
Rad Radford.
You're not even in the fucking pool. You're not even in the country, dude. Ludwig and it says here iTunes bonus tracks. There's two of them.
Does Jim Cornette have a song?
It is not, dude. You're not even close.
Ludwig Borga.
Not even fucking close.
All right. So slow down.
There's nothing to slow down. You're never going to get
it. I'm going to get it.
Man Mountain Rock.
No.
It's a great guess.
It's a terrible guess because you guys aren't even close.
Skip right, so, and zip the Body Donnas.
Nope.
So we got, can you just, Brett?
The New Rockers.
Oh.
Brett, Sid.
Brett Goldust, and Sid are on the album. Goldust. So it's Diesel, King Mabel, 123 Kid, Goldust, Smoking Guns, Psycho Sid, Razor Ramon, Bret Hart, Hakushi, Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, Jeff Jarrett.
Dean Douglas.
No, you're not even close.
Vader.
No. You guys are never going to get these.
Any female wrestlers?
No.
Is it a non-wrestler?
No.
Give me the first letter of the
no, that's gonna name. Easily give it away.
Yeah, the first letter.
Is it make a difference? Fatu.
The first letter.
Oh, is it make a difference?
No, Fatu? It's not. He's not making a difference on the album. Both wrestlers have a first name that begins with the letter D. Awesome. You're still never gonna get it. This is not even a fucking fair question for
Duke,
can you beat
Dumpster
that?
Drossi.
No, okay. All right, that was a fair
that's
guess.
That's a good
but
guess.
But you're absolutely
and
way
I,
off.
And I said Dean
Douglas. I'm telling you, you
no
guys
Diesel,
are,
no Dean
Doc Douglas. Hendricks?
No, you're not going to get
that's a great
them.
Guess.
They're all great guesses, but they're all terribly wrong.
Doug Gilbert, no.
No. Oh, Doug, he was in the Rumble one of those years.
The Dog Patriot.
With a D. Oh, my God. You guys are never going to get them. You might as well just give up. The show.
Can you just shut the fuck up and give us a second man?
No, because Dead Air's as funny as watching fish
Doug
fry.
Furnace.
No,
Doug,
not Doug Furnace.
Doug Furnace. Oh, man.
The D.
The D.
Is it like Doug Gangsters?
Yeah, D's nuts.
D's nuts.
Is it a tag team?
Yes, both of them.
They're both tag teams?
Both of D's nuts.
Wait, so they're not tag teams.
596 D.
So they're not tag teams.
See, I can't. If I give you the clue, you're going to be like, oh, what the fuck?
All right, so what the hell?
No.
Why not do it then?
All right, you're thinking of
Doink the Clown.
Nope.
Dink the Clown.
Nope.
Tony, yes, it's Doink and Dink.
Double Trouble.
They are both still alive, and one of them is an active wrestler. You're never going to get them. You're never going to fucking get them.
You underestimate what we know about professional wrestling.
You say I underestimate. I say nay, sir. You guys
are still an active wrestler, huh?
So if you say it, will we know who they are?
Yes, of course you'll know who they are. These were the iTunes bonus tracks. According to Wikipedia, both men have first names that begin with the letter D.
So they're not tag teams.
No, and it's not D's Nuts, and it's not both of them.
It's not Doug Dillinger.
No.
Is it D'Lo Brown?
No, it's not D'Lo Brown. That's a good guess.
He wasn't there yet, I don't think.
No, these guys, I'm pretty sure. I know one for sure, but probably both of them are still in WWE.
Really?
Yes.
They're both still
You're
there.
You're never going to get this.
Stop it.
When I say never, people, I say never, I mean never. They're
still
never going to get
Still in WWE.
They're probably producers.
David Otunga. No.
Correct, sir. That's one of them.
Come on. 95?
No, not 95. These were bonus tracks added by iTunes. All About the Power, David Otunga's theme song.
That's not... All right.
So it's not relative to 95-96.
You totally screwed the pooch on this.
I didn't screw the pooch. You guys all assume 95-96.
I don't have sex with animals, sir.
The only clue you wanted was the first letter, and I gave it to you.
No, but...
Okay, so is it Dean Ambrose?
No.
Damian Sandow.
No.
They're still in WWE.
Remember the clues I gave you? Yes.
Tony thinks they're still in WWE.
No. This guy.
David Otunga is not active. This guy's still active.
Now. Yes. Now you're going to get it.
Is it Wade Barrett? No.
No, there's no D in
it. Yeah, I get it. Well, there is one, but.
Is it Drew McIntyre?
Matt, can
broken you, dreams?
Can you agree with me that this was a total abomination of the setup? Of
I
the
mean,
question?
We didn't. It
says it right here. We, iTunes bonus tracks.
We did assume that this would be
1995,
circa 95, 96. So maybe that's on us.
Yeah.
It's not. I think he should have prefaced that.
No, because that would have no. Because you guys,
Tony said
the clue you wanted, the clue you wanted was first letter of their of a name.
Yeah, but we didn't know that it would be 20 years later from when the album was released.
Hey, man, iTunes works in mysterious ways, apparently. But congratulations to Phil, who got both of them.
Nice. What's my prize? A free glass of goat's milk?
You could
have another shot of Fireball.
I got mushroom pizza for you. Yeah.
Phil could have anaphylaxis and Fireball.
So we get the Rocky Maivia Undertaker. There's nothing incredibly groundbreaking about this match. I think everything is post-match. Taker sets him up, choke slam.
It was a fine match, though.
It was fine. Yes, it's not like fucking five stars.
A little too much with the interference, but that was 97.
That's the fucking Nation of Domination,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, I
know. He's going to set up for the tombstone. Boom, he hits it as he covers. The lights go out. You know what that means. Here comes Paul Bearer with Kane.
That's gotta be Kane.
The Nation clears out. Paul Bearer once again tries to talk the Undertaker into fighting Kane, but Taker will not strike his own flesh and blood, even when Kane beats him into a corner. And Taker considers firing off, but he doesn't pull the trigger. And that's the closest we've seen to them coming to blows.
Until Mania, I want to say.
Any particular reason you were farting around there, buddy?
No, but here's a bit of irony. Rocky Maivia won his first Intercontinental title in this very same building in Lowell, Massachusetts in February of earlier that year.
That's where Shawn Michaels lost his smile.
Fuck yeah. Tell me a lie.
Great line by Cornette.
Would you guys consider the Undertaker Kane story one of the best the WWE has ever told?
Yes.
Storyline, yes. The payoff at Mania, I'd have to watch it again, but I don't remember it being any shakes of greatness.
Just for them, the longevity of both of them, it just, like, how could you not?
Oh, the story for sure. Yeah. But that first match where they actually touched and stuff, I'd have to go back and watch it. I don't really have a good memory of that one, a memory of it being any good.
It's one of those, it's like Macho Man Hogan. Like, you can, anytime you want them to fight, I'm okay with having them fight.
It made Kane a better performer after that. I think his status got better. Even the funny shit was good. You know what I'm saying?
If there's no Taker, there's no Kane.
And right? I love when Taker took a shot at him in his Hall of Fame speech. He's like, you stole my moveset. Of course you became a great wrestler.
Yep. He's not wrong.
Well, we enter the Raw Zone. The War Zone, excuse me.
Same.
Yeah.
And your hosts are Jim Cornette. And Jim Ross.
Goddamn, fucking Raw.
And we're going to kick off the second hour of Raw with the European champion, Shawn Michaels, and Triple H. China comes out carrying both belts. Helmsley makes his entrance. But as he's doing so, Owen Hart with the weakest from behind tackle. Like, he doesn't double axe hand him. He just, like,
dives at his leg and
he chop locks.
He didn't learn blindsiding in the fucking dungeon, I guess.
And thank God they had the good angle.
Oh, the over the top, right?
Yeah.
And Hunter was still wearing his like his Greenwich robe at this point, wasn't it?
Like a little bit more on the inside, on the inner thigh.
Yeah, it was flash.
It was a little more flash than it was.
Yeah, but that's cool that like he was still, you know, the Hunter Hearst Helmsley gimmick at this point.
I enjoyed how Michaels and China accuse Sergeant Slaughter of collusion. Like he allowed this to happen.
Smelling real bad.
Yeah.
So that match will happen later tonight.
Well, another segment with these jackoffs.
We go back to New Age Outlaws looking for Mankind in the basement. They find just a random dude and they beat him up.
You think it was one of the Barriquas?
No, it looked like a white dude. It was probably Bruce Pritchard.
Probably Steve Lombardi.
Ooh, he likes getting, he likes getting tackled by men in the fucking sewers.
Yes, he does, fuck Daddy. Yeah.
Push it and pull it.
We are back. We are back for our next matchup. Scott Taylor is in the ring, and he's going to take on Mark Merrow.
Yes, he
did
is.
Did you see Scott Taylor? He almost looked like he wanted to really be a heel in this match. He had like that scruffy, like didn't really trim it well, kind of like unshaven beard.
He looked like a roadie for Pearl Jam.
Like that menacing look on his face, you know?
I think he just thinks what we all think of Mark Merrow.
Dare I say precursor to the Kevin Garifo truck drivers.
Hey, yo.
You know what? You know what? You are right on that.
Jim Ross and Jim Cornette are telling us that Sable is in the building and she is hot tonight.
It is so funny how Jim Cornette has talked so much shit about Sable over the years, like actually building her up as an on-screen character. The irony is just so great.
And out comes Mark Merrow.
Fuck you, bye.
Yep. Mark Merrow comes out and he brings out Sable, but she's in a reindeer costume.
Yeah, with high heels on, pumps, by the way.
God bless her.
Yeah.
Can't be easy.
How she pulled that off is amazing.
Very carefully.
Yeah.
This is for all the ladies that want to be me and for all the men that want to be with me.
I'm not there yet, but yeah, I love the reference. Not with
your dick and him pushing.
That's what her, when she was bad guy Sable, that's what she did.
So we're going to have a match, and as Sable gets the outside, she decides she's done wearing the reindeer head, and she takes it off, and this infuriates the Marvelous One, which allows Scott Taylor to attempt to get the upper hand. But as you know, it does not go well, and he falls victim to the TKO. And then...
great move, by the way.
And then...
Yeah.
That was so innovative and ahead of its time.
Some post-match shenanigans.
Wait, I got to ask Kevin, because Kevin would probably know the most about this.
Okay.
Tom Brandy, circa 97.
Stunk! Tom Brandy.
So how long after Sal Sincere did he become Tom Brandy?
Year, maybe?
So he was not on TV before this? Like,
he was Sal Sincere. No, before this? No,
was he the fake Patriot, too?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. He's Johnny Gunn, who was with Tom Zink and WCW.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And with...
But was he brought back in for this, or was he... Like,
no, he was there the entire time.
But he, like, was he wrestling?
He just got repackaged, and, like, I don't remember exactly how he got repackaged.
I got it for you. He began wrestling under his real name when Mark Merrow called him a jobber and said he was Tom Brandy, not Salvatore Sincere.
Yeah. Stunk. He was... like this is why the show is so bad. And I don't blame Johnny Gunn. I don't blame Tom Brandy for this. It was just like nobody gave a fuck about
I tell you
Tom
what
Brandy.
Though, when he beat up fucking Mark Merrow and he turned to the crowd and he was like, yeah,
no, people, nobody cares.
Fired
what are you out of your fucking bum? What show were you watching?
People got a little fired up for him. I was fired up for him.
First of all, Mark Merrow didn't have any heat either.
No, well, that's fair.
So, like,
but then again, Tom Brandy made sure that they got to see Sable, so that would probably be.
But if
reason.
Tom Brandy was in the ring with her, then he would be able to leech off her pop. But he
oh
was
my
out.
God, how come they didn't go with that with Tom Brandy and Sable teamed up?
Freaking, hey, I'm a big Italian guy. Hey, yo, look at me, I'm Tom Brandy.
I
yo,
never really.
I'm gonna steal like Del Wilkes gimmick, and I'm gonna do all this crazy stuff. I'm Johnny Gunn, Tom Zink, go away. Oh wow.
I never understood the Sal Sincere gimmick. I just never got it. Like I love you and everything. Like
it was such a weird time in wrestling. And then,
but my aunt, well, because like. When I mean, my cousin was like a little kid at the time, and so she used to watch wrestling with him. She loved Sal Sincere. She loved the fucking gimmick.
Like Miami, like, Florida.
Like, I didn't get it. I just didn't understand. I'm like, he's Italian. He wears pink. What the
so
fuck?
So you go from one non-over gimmick to just becoming Tom less Brandy. Than a regular guy. Like, you're so Phil, you have, you're a gimmick, right? You're Sal Sincere. Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you're just a regular dude named Tom Brandy who defends Sable from Mark Barrow, who at this point still nobody gives a fuck about. And like, now how is that gonna get you like over? It's not, it's
they just... did the same shit with Shark when John Tenta was in WCW, and all of a sudden, like, I'm not a shark, I'm a man, I'm John Tenta. All right, well, see you later, John Tenta.
Same thing with Big Bubba when he became Ray Trailer. We talked
about that.
Tom Brandy is like that overbearing dude that marries an old lady after, like, the widower for her money. It's that guy.
And it stinks, though, because he could have done something there, but he just,
if he wasn't an asshole.
Yeah.
I also think you're putting him in a feud where nobody gives a shit about either guy because they want to see Sable.
Yeah. So
yeah,
that's a tremendous
Sable.
It's all about Sable. And you have two guys that literally you fucked totally the Wild Man.
Well, in fairness, the story goes, and you know the story, Vince McMahon wanted Johnny B. Bad, and he wasn't going to get Johnny B. Bad. You know, so it's like, well, what the fuck do we do with this guy now? And that's all Mark Mero knew was how to be Johnny B. Bad. Yeah. He never knew anything else.
Well, I used to box.
Yeah, so that's exactly what happened.
And I will say this. I don't think Wild Man Mark Mero was as bad as...
It wasn't, but if they just left it as Mark and Sable instead of fucking with that, it probably could have gone.
If they never brought Sable in, Mark Mero probably could have been huge. Maybe.
Things could have been different. He? It's like 5 minutes.
He was TV champ.
Oh, I meant the WCW. He was TV champ
a bunch, yeah.
Okay.
And then they had that thing, and then Triple H took it from him because they had the whole Mr. Perfect storyline where Mr. Perfect was going to manage.
Another great story, because the whole thing was, you know, Hunter was bringing in all these women, and what was it, Mania? He brought in Sable, and he was giving Sable shit, and Mark Mero came to defend her honor. Yep. Biggity bam, fucking brand new feud. Now Sable's with Mero, which is where you wanted to be to begin with. It was perfect.
100%.
Biggity bam.
Biggity bam.
Biggity bam.
Me and Matt looked at each other like we just had like our heads on fire because you said biggity bam.
I haven't said biggity bam in a long time.
Well, we get that moment where she gets out of the reindeer costume and the place goes crazy, and she leaves without her husband. And wishes everybody a Merry Christmas.
She didn't even leave with Tom Brandy. What a fucking flat lever.
We go backstage. Triple H is now getting a talk from China. And then I don't know how this was not a main event on a pay-per-view. Kurgan with the Jackal against 8-Ball.
What the fuck was this? Did you find it ironic when the fucking what's-his-nuts called Kurgan the Alpha and the Omega?
Yes, I also thought it was super weird. He kissed like a child on the head and then put the weird dot on the forehead.
Do we know how old she was?
She looked like a child.
It was probably somebody's daughter from the back. It was probably somebody's kid.
That was, you know what, when you mentioned that, like, I haven't seen that since it actually happened. That was his like gimmick. Like,
Kurgan's neck looks like a fucking, remember that toy we had back in the day to Stretch Armstrong?
Yeah.
He looked like a fucking retarded Stretch Armstrong.
And don't worry, he'd get worse when he joined the Oddities.
Kurgan's on the house mic too. Jackal is on the house mic too.
Don Callis. What a bag of douche.
This goes exactly how you thought it would when you say Jackal versus 8-Ball.
Yep.
And the other guys, Sniper and Recon, are still there, which I totally didn't. Sniper and Recon are
it's like generic G.I. Joe names.
B-Squared is still there.
Were Sniper and Recon in that tag team battle royal match at WrestleMania that year that LOD won?
And they may have put on their new gimmicks, like they're like Montreal, because they're both
everything gimmicks.
Because the one guy is from Montreal. I forget which.
I do how you. I love how you say Montreal, like authentically. Like,
oh, Canadians. Listen. Hockey has changed
Montreal.
Me. Hockey has changed me. So, one Sniper was the guy, the French wrestler, and Bull Buchanan is the other one.
Oh, that's right.
I don't.
Bull Buchanan was Recon, wasn't he?
I don't remember which one was which.
Yes, Bull Buchanan was Recon. Sniper was Luke
at my dick
Poliar.
Yeah, so the one of them was French, and they were a tag team eventually they would come back to WWE, or at least they would shed the Truth Commission gimmick and actually wrestle with like singlets and actually wrestle. Like,
were they like Sunday Night Heat guys?
So, yeah, they were Shotgun Saturday Night guys, 100%.
They were in that Battle Royal, Tony, at WrestleMania 14, and then post WrestleMania 14, they briefly feuded with Kurgan and the Jackal under the name Armageddon.
Yes. 100%. That's it.
Fucking guys are so lucky they had a pay-per-view.
And they had like weird like black singlets with like with, I think they had the Quebec flag on it, Quebecers. If I'm not mistaken. So
yeah.
So that's what
I think my son is in the living room playing Gorilla Tag. That's why we're here screaming now.
Yeah, we have to talk about this Gorilla Tag thing.
Gorilla Tag.
They continue to look for Mankind, the New Age Outlaws. Oh, yes, whatever. Sidewalk Slam. Kurgan wins. The Recon and the Sniper, they're out there to beat up the 8-Ball.
And then Skull comes in with a 2x4.
We get D'Lo Brown taking on the world's most dangerous man, Ken Shamrock.
This is a fun promo from The Rock.
Ken Shamrock just looks so confused when shit was going on with
Ken Shamrock always looked confused.
Dude, he's like, duh.
Just to be clear,
he should have been a world champion.
He wrestled Sean at the pay-per-view in between, right?
Yes.
Yes.
And Owen Hart came back, the D-Generation X pay-per-view.
And I remember the story was, it was his first time, like, really in the main event. And Sean told him, listen, the crowd's going to be really loud. Make sure you call your spots nice and loud. So if you go back and watch that match, all you hear is Shamrock calling spots. What a fucking dick.
D'Lo gets quickly beat by the ankle lock, but it's all about after the match. The Rocky Maivia comes out. He cuts a promo. He challenges him for the IC title match at
it's
Royal
so weird,
Rumble.
Though, he challenges Shamrock, and he's a champion. He's like, I will. And Shamrock's already in the Rumble, and he goes, like, I'll put my belt.
I like when the champion puts the challenge out, man.
Gotcha.
Tells a good story.
And they still continue. You know, Rock cuts this promo. He calls out the Ken Shamrock. I was gonna say the Rock. Farouk still looks fucking super annoyed.
Yep. Because the Rock is telling people to come back like he's the leader.
We are now over to the locker room with China and Sean. They are still
commiserating.
HBK says he's gonna teach Triple H a lesson. The New Age Outlaws then finally come upon Mankind.
And they came upon him
so
like the wise men looking for Jesus.
He locks the New Age Outlaws in a freezer. And then we're back to the artist formerly known as Goldust and Luna Vachon and those giant fake hitters. This is fucking so weird. He comes out to read 'Twas the Night Before Christmas.
Was this when he was FU Goldust? Okay.
Yes. Yes.
So he's out here doing this weird read, and this is appropriate time for Santa Claus to come out and give candy to everybody.
Not mad at that. Creepy.
And this clearly catches the attention of Goldust and Luna, and they're both very upset about this. So upset that they completely stop watching Santa Claus and allow him to come in the ring and fucking wallop Goldust from behind with his bag of goodies. And it turns out that the Santa Claus was none other than the man they call Vader.
Bro. Want to mess with Santa? Fuck around and find out.
I'm surprised Goldust didn't smell him coming down the aisle.
Cornette said, that is not a jolly fat man.
No.
Cornette was like so good on the commentary of this whole show.
Totally. He was.
I think you agree.
Yeah, I think he really shines in this main event as he continues.
He always did good commentary, even with Crockett, when he filled in for Shivani once in a while.
Hindsight, because we know, like, Sean's history, like, Cornette was hitting so inside baseball, like Kevin said before, like, Sean likes to cry a lot in this town.
Yeah, Sean's a piece of shit, really.
Yes, I agree.
In hindsight.
It's main event time. It's the European champion, WWF European champion, Shawn Michaels against Triple H. You think there's going to be a match? It is far from it.
Tony, you still have the European title?
Yes.
Want to fight me outside for it?
No.
Okay. Yeah, man, I'm sorry.
I did a Shane McMahon a couple years ago.
Okay, gotcha.
Sean takes a bump to the mat, and he just lays there, and Triple H ridiculously runs the ropes.
he almost prances.
Yeah. I remember watching this live
as
a kid,
as a young man, I guess.
And then he does the best version of the Warrior Splash.
little knee to the mat first action.
Gotta love it. And we have a new European champion. Cornette's all over him. It was a ruse, a play, a plot, a plan, a charade, a conspiracy, a sham. We've been conned, hoodwinked.
Been cornholed.
Bamboozled, flim-flam.
Double cheese.
Flim-flam.
Post-match.
Thank you, fuck you, bye.
Sean Triple H cut a very sarcastic promo that was the both grueling and rewarding match of the career.
Yo, Sarge, I did it.
Perfect.
Yep.
But just as the show is winding down, Sergeant Slaughter there laughing, touching his giant chin.
You'll be defending that title against Owen Hart next week.
But he just says it to the camera, so Triple H and Shawn Michaels don't know. It was it was not terrible.
Yeah, it's a cool ending though. Like he kind of just tells the people at home what's gonna happen next week.
And then if I'm not mistaken, I think Owen Hart beats him for it.
Not at that point.
I think he does. Unless it's WrestleMania.
Where evolution-wise, isn't this no pun intended, is Triple H the best character to evolve as a superstar? Like, in terms of when he came in and up until he can't wrestle anymore?
So, I'm going to flip the script on you entirely. I'm going to say yes to that. But this just reminded me of watching Impact this week. I think Cody Deaner has been totally elevated and completely incredible as now a new important character facing off with Sami Callihan. But going back to your point, yes, I think Triple H is the progress that Triple H needed. And then of course it's the night after Triple H gets hurt where X-Pac comes back.
Get hurt. Oh, then when they did the whole thing in the garden and he punished him.
Yeah.
And he did the whole slop match thing for like right. 10.
If you're going to pick somebody that never would have ever been where they are, Triple H.
Yeah. Politics aside, even if he didn't go with Stephanie,
nope.
Do you think that he's the best character to evolve into a superstar?
I mean, it's him or The Rock, right?
Austin.
I think Rock is a close second, but he didn't stay.
I think Triple H is just like that slow burn. Like you've actually seen that progression as the years went on.
I mean, Randy Orton's got to be in that. Randy equation Orton's too.
in that category. Yeah, of course. But I think the standard.
Yeah,
should be.
If you're gonna have a mold, yes, it's probably Triple H. I agree.
And just so many just nuanced differences in his character as he went along. Yeah. The slight different changes from being like the Greenwich snob to being a degenerate. As the leader, the game with Stephanie and drugging her and marrying her and all that other shit.
The cerebral assassin.
Yeah, the cerebral assassin. And then, you know, like even after that, the king of kings and all that, you know, bow down to the king.
That's right. Go ahead.
To COO, to fucking corporate, you know, Triple H.
Even in corporate, even on the administrative side of it, like he's the guy, the flag bearer, the guy who kept the ship going. And then with Vince stepping down, it made perfect sense of what he's doing and where the company's going now, you know? So,
yeah.
Just a question I saved for tonight.
Yeah, it's a good one. I like that.
So what do you think? December 22nd, 1997 Raw. Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle?
You know what? I mentioned it before. I'd give it a thumbs up just because there was a fair amount of dog shit on there. But there's so much, because you see where we get with this, you know, with the crisscrossing storylines and whatnot. Like the 98 Rumble is probably the real jumping off point, right? Because right after the next night is Tyson on Raw. Yeah. Right?
That's right.
Right. And Austin is the cement. He won the Rumble. You know, obviously he's going to be at the top of the mountain. Brett's gone. We're kind of past that. DX has cemented themselves as like the main players. And
we still have questions of the New Age Outlaws, because don't forget the beginning of the show, it was a little tongue in cheek, like New Age Outlaws, you're saying you took out LOD, stay out of our businesses if you know it's good for you.
Yeah. And the Rock's on the up. Like there's a lot of the Undertaker Kane stuff is yet to come to a head. So there's a lot of good stuff going on here. So for the Godwins and the Mark Marrows, like again, Kevin says it all the time. We talk AEW, like, it's weekly TV. We got to fill it. You know, there's a lot, like, I don't know if anything ever came with that Mark Mero, Tom Brandy feud, and I'm okay not knowing.
Right.
No, nothing at all.
Think about this, though. Like, this is an hour and a half, and we've seen a few, like, we've got some dog shit filler segments. It's 3 hours now. You mean to tell me that they couldn't do it for an hour and a half, that they're having success doing it for 3 hours now? It's crazy to think about.
Yeah, no, I you know, people are paying for those, that extra time.
You know what? Since we're going thumbs up, down, middle, I think I got to go thumbs up too. I'm kind of hesitant. Like, I want to go middle. Like, if it was a grade scale, I'd probably go lower than average, but I would think thumbs up is a fair assessment.
I'm with you. I think just based on the conversation, the thumbs up is probably the way to go.
Phil?
I would have put Rock and Taker in the main event, but again, that's just me. And Shawn Michaels being the X factor, and everybody was on TV. Every major star they had, Taker, Rock, Austin, Michaels.
It was a loaded show.
It was loaded.
Shit segments aside.
But the shit segments kind of camouflaged all the goodness that went down that night, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And it was during that awkward transitional stage of getting the characters into more adult characters. You know, like they're getting away from the clowns and the cowboys and the Indians, and they're giving them an edge.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah.
No, hindsight, you're seeing the birth of the Attitude Era, right?
Yeah.
So I think that gives it more, you tend to lean towards a thumbs up.
Yeah, because next summer, poolside at fucking Casa de McMahon, the candle starts burning both ways, and they start to get the ship rolling. They realize what Turner's doing. They're like, all right, listen. And they just start tweaking things, and all of a sudden it becomes must-see television. Like, for the next 2 years, it was must-see television.
Yeah.
And everybody wanted to know what went on. We were flipping back and forth, and we were, like, just taping both shows because we weren't home. You know what I'm saying? Watching Raw, taping Nitro.
Yeah, couldn't get enough.
Couldn't get enough, you know? So, yeah, this was the tweaking. This was the, you know, this was Vince going, yeah, I'll do something with him. and then move it along. You know, it's just that kind of party. So,
and this was a great party tonight.
Yes.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Phil, thank you for joining us. I hope everybody out there had a great, safe, happy holiday. The next time you see us, it'll be a new year. By then, hopefully you had a very safe and healthy, happy new year. You enjoyed yourself with your family and you're in one piece and you're buckling down for 2023.
Boom.
Let's make it better than 2022. Happy holidays to everybody out there. Special thanks to Phil for joining us. The Turnbuckle Throwbacks. It's on the Shining Wizards Network. If you just put Turnbuckle Throwbacks into your search engine, wherever you do your podcast, the episodes will pop up. And you'll see Phil there all the time. Going, getting in the way back. Doing what he does best. Talk about old school. Check him out. Me, Kevin, Tony, we'll be back next week with another episode.
First of 2023, yeah, baby.
Of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
Once again, end of an era. Thank you so much to Drew. Thank you so much to The Rant for giving us a platform for these past 5 years to broadcast live. And like Phil said on his show Friday, like Drew said on his last episode, before this week's last episode, new things evolving. Can't wait to see what.
Microphone,
you hand job. Yeah. I didn't think you remembered how to work one of those things.
I know how it works.
Good God.
Go ahead, finish your fucking.
I'm done now. Thanks for everything, Drew. Looking forward to 2023. Good things from the guys at The Rant.
Have a great new year, everybody.
Yes. Enjoy yourselves. Don't catch the clap and don't lick your mother's ass. Or
right. Don't get arrested.
There you go.
Be kind to animals. Don't be a jerk off.
Yeah. Don't drive drunk. Use an Uber.
Yes.
Don't say the N-word. That's bad.
That's what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, nice. Don't say narcissist.
Or narcolepsy.
Or narcolepsy.
Especially if you're driving.
Or anaphylactic.
Or nanner.
Ankle phylactic.
What about uncle phylactic?
Or nannerpuss.
Don't fucking fuck with nannerpuss.
Don't fuck with nannerpuss.
The noodle.
Tonight. Yeah. Special thanks to Tony's kid for making an appearance tonight.
Fuck yeah, T3, baby.
T3.
He actually texted me while Matt was scolding me for looking at my phone earlier.
Gorilla Squad.
And he said, yeah, he's playing Gorilla Tag upstairs right now. He said, thank you. That was fun. There you go.
You got to learn how to speak into the mic, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, he, in fairness, he didn't, you know, I mean, he's not down here. He didn't know the gimmicks. So.
That's true.
Good night, Gracie.
Later.
Son of a bitch.
You motherfucker. What? Phil's not here. Phil's here. I'm not going to do the gimmick.
That's his gimmick.
Yeah, let him say it. Phil, say it.
Good night, Gracie. All
right. Oh, I got to press the button?
Press the goddamn button.
Press this now, you fucking asshole.
Push the button, connect.
I gotta press two. Wait, I gotta press this twice?
A lot of buttons.
Fucking what a gimmick, man.